97.5 The Fanatic.
And happy Saturday afternoon, everybody. 97.5 The Fanatic. It is a beautiful, cold Saturday here in the Delaware Valley. I am Rob Motti with D. Lineham. We're going to take you up until Flyers hockey this afternoon at 3 p.m. You also got Sixers Pacers later on tonight, so you got doubleheader action here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Sixers coming off a win last night against the New York Knicks. Again, this is two times in a little bit over a week where they have to come back from a double-digit second-half deficit to win the game, but they get the W. So we're going to get into a little bit Sixers here, especially with D and I, and the Philadelphia Eagles getting ready for what could put them in first place thanks to the Buffalo Bills winning on Thursday. Now, the Eagles didn't need Buffalo to beat Dallas to have control of their own destiny. The Eagles going into the week, all they had to do was win out. And you say all they had to do, that's not easy to do, but they have 4-2-9 teams on their schedule and the Dallas Cowboys match up in week 16. But going into the week, they had to just win out to win the NFC East. The fact that Buffalo beat Dallas on Thursday on Thanksgiving only means as of now that the Eagles can afford to lose one more game, and that's being Miami. They can't afford to lose to an NFC East team yet. However, if Dallas loses to the Bears or Dallas loses to the Rams, that changes things, but that's for down the line. Right now, you got the Eagles getting ready to play Miami tomorrow. Double-digit favorite. It's moved up, D. It's moved up to, remember, it was 8, 8.5. Yeah. Nine, it's 10 points now.
I know. I can't believe that. So, wait, do we think that's because some people are already coming back? Like, we know Lane Johnson.
Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar decided they want to play this week. We'll see if anything happens between now and Sunday.
But no Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz.
Possibly.
I do believe he probably, based on Josh Perkins being at, and they could have done that just as precautionary, but Josh Perkins was added from the practice squad today. Cravon LeBlanc also coming off IR officially, and he's going to be added to the roster. They released defensive tackle Anthony Huggins. But even with Zach Ertz out, you got Lane Johnson, you got Brandon Brooks coming back. We assume he's ready to go. He hasn't had any issues this week.
I think it'll be a big Miles weekend.
It should be. I would definitely.
And by the way, we should say the stinger is still bothering Jordan Howard.
He hasn't been cleared for contact yet. So he hasn't been cleared for contact. I don't think he's going to play. I don't think they're going to try and rush him back against Miami. That said, they're going into Miami with a chance to be 6-6. Double-digit favorite. You got to win this game and cover. If they win this football game and it's like 20-17, 23-20, it's going to be like, and I've been on the air before after the Jets game where they won by 25 and people treated it like a loss.
Yep.
This is one of those games where you have to go out there, dominate this team from the start, and roll up on Miami. Don't give them a chance. I know Ryan Fitzpatrick can cause some issues for the Eagles. I think there's a better secondary, although most of the pieces were in place last year when he beat him in Tampa.
But he had different weapons around him then.
Much better.
Much
right?
better. Yeah.
You had Deshaun going against his former team, Mike Evans, O.J. Howard. This is an opportunity for the Eagles to win a double-digit game, get back in the win column, and then you got the Giants on a Monday night. You got the Redskins, and get ready. Build up some momentum. Get ready for that Dallas game. Now, it would be great if they can go into that Dallas game not needing to beat Dallas.
No, but,
but Dallas would have to lose to the Bears and Rams. So that's the only scenario. Dallas has to lose the next two, which is possible.
It's kind of like when Eagles fans were looking at the Pats game and the Seahawks game.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, can we just split?
Split one.
And
yeah.
That didn't happen.
So the way I'm looking at the Eagles right now is you have a team that beat two really good teams on the road in the playoffs that Dallas lost to in Buffalo and in Green Bay. And they almost and should have won at home against New England had it not been for an inconsistent undermanned offense. And they should have won at home against Seattle but didn't. The defense is playing well enough to win. I know a lot of people wrote the Eagles off after last week. You and I and Joe Stazak did the post-game show, and by the end of that show, I had them winning out. I said, they're going to win out and go to the playoffs and win the division. I feel even better about that right now. So I want to put it out there for everybody, given what just the makeup of this week. How do you feel about, you got some healthy guys coming back, you have Dallas losing again, you have question marks in Dallas for sure about the coaching staff, you have Dak Prescott, for as good as he looks against the bad teams, he's not that good against winning teams. At least Carson has beaten two playoff teams on the road this season. So how are you feeling going into this game against Miami? Do you feel kind of like I do that they have to not only win this game, but blow the Dolphins out tomorrow so you can feel really good come 4:30 p.m. Tomorrow afternoon? 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick is here taking your calls. He's also all spiffied up, D. How about that?
Yeah, I was. I had to be informed as to how that outfit came to be. So basically, we have pajama pants.
Yes.
With a black dress shirt
and tie. We're gonna post it. We'll post it during the break on 975.
He actually looks like he is. Yeah. Well, coiffed on his hair. No hat. Yeah. Nope. Backwards hat is usually Josh's item.
You got some product in the hair, right? You got a little bit of product in the hair. So the bet was, this was going back to the New England game. I had the Eagles losing that game, and Dylan McKinnon and Josh decided we were going to have a little fun with it, and they took the Eagles to win. I had New England, and because I always kind of poke fun at Josh for wearing pajamas in here, had the Eagles won that game, which they almost did, I would have had to purchase pajamas and wear them to the studio. So I was spared that. And then last minute, they said in solidarity they were gonna dress up for it, and Dylan did it last week. So Josh, you had some fun coming down the elevator at home today, huh?
Yeah, so I live in a building of a bunch of people on the 12th floor, so I'm sitting in the elevator with a few other people, and someone gave me the look of, did you lose a bet? In fact, I did lose a bet, sir.
Well, we're going to post that. We're going to have some fun with that. So, Josh, I appreciate you honoring your bet. I was not looking forward to having to wear pajamas.
I'm just making sure I understand. Pajama pants are an absolute no for you.
For me? Yeah, I don't own any. Yeah, I don't own pajama pants. I just sleep in just, you know, sweats and shorts, right, and whatever. So, yeah.
And we should say the pajama pants are those flannel.
Oh, yeah. I will say this, with the Black Friday deals yesterday, and I happened to be in...
you were prepared if you had a
Yeah, I was looking yesterday. It was cold out, and we played 3 hours of football in the morning, and my shoulder's still killing me. And then my wife decided to meet some friends and take the girls to the Christmas Village downtown here in Center City.
I walked through it the other night.
Beautiful.
It's so cool.
Yeah, beautiful. And then I ducked for cover in a store, one of the department stores, because it was chilly. And the first thing I saw was pajamas. I was like, man, these really, right about now, I wouldn't mind having them. So I get that.
I love that whole concept of Christmas Village, that it's like
it's
came over from Germany.
It?
Yeah. I interviewed actually these two young girls who are basically the PR for it.
Oh, really?
It's only here for, it's a month.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. But it's really cool.
So, oh my God, the vendors are great. The food is great. Yeah.
Really. So we were thinking of taking the girls to New York to see the tree. And then after that yesterday, on the way out, as we're walking to the car, I was like, forget New York. I'm not doing that. We got the same experience. It was nicer. I think it's better than anything we see. The only thing they have there is the big tree.
Right. They have the big tree, which I think if you go down, it's not a short walk, but if you go down the parkway, yeah, you can go down and see that.
The one right by the art
right
museum?
Right the steps.
There you go.
And the other thing is the ice skating rink that they put up across the street from the Christmas Village, which is, I guess, Dilworth Park, they call that, right? I couldn't believe how it was smooth, it was not overly crowded.
It was really cool yesterday.
People go out for like 20 minutes in there and then they get off.
They have like, and like a little bit off to the side from there, from where the ice skating rink is, it looks like this garden with rain.
Beautiful. White light reindeer sculptures.
You know how I finished my night off, D, after that?
Went home.
No, Christmas movie on Hallmark.
Oh, that's so Rob Motti.
I'm a Hallmark
that
Christmas.
That is so Rob Motti right there.
Oh, it was such a beautiful night. 610-632-0975. Let's get to Chris in Jersey. He wants to talk about the Eagles. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Hey guys, what's up? Happy Saturday. Hey, did you guys have turkey for breakfast this morning?
No, because I didn't cook, so I didn't get leftovers.
No? We finished ours yesterday, the leftovers. I was disappointed.
Wow.
I should have made myself a plate leaving my sister-in-law's.
Always,
you know? I mean, there's so much food at her house right now. There is.
What do you got, Chris?
Nonstop turkey. Hey, So here's the deal. Here's what I really think. I think I have written off the Eagles two separate times this year, and the Cowboys just keep bringing life back to me, at least, and I think back to all Eagles fans everywhere. And I really think whether it's this weekend as a game changer, I really think that Thanksgiving game down there in Jerry World where Dak Prescott and that entire Cowboys team got demolished by the Buffalo Bills, we have to capitalize on this. So here's my theory, because we all know that. We all agree on that. This is the moment, right? So we're not playing the Dolphins this weekend. We're playing the Cowboys. And what you have to realize is that they are really reeling from that loss down there. They're embarrassed. And if we can keep that momentum going. But here's my point. Everybody likes to talk about Carson. I really think this is Miles Sanders' season. The rest of the season has to be Dougie P and Mike Groh figuring it out with Miles Sanders, not just, you know, screenplays. He's got to develop some kind of running game so Carson doesn't start doing the happy feet, doesn't feel like he has to be the superhero. It's really, I think the game changer is going to be Miles Sanders over the next six games. So I just want to get your thoughts on that.
I agree. D mentioned that to me, I think, right before we started the show, that it should be a Miles Sanders game. And I appreciate the call, Chris. Thank you. Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard when he gets healthy, Jay Ajayi tomorrow. I've been saying it since I looked up this stat and did some research, D. I don't know if I threw it out there last week when we did it. When the Eagles run for 120 yards under Doug Peterson, they're 21-2. 120 is not asking for a lot.
No,
120 is very attainable. 21-2 when they just reach 120 yards, and then when they pass for 275 or more, they're 9-11. So I understand it's a passing league, this NFL right now, but more and more teams are starting to run the football, and there's some of the better teams, especially look at Baltimore because they got Lamar Jackson, but they also have Mark Ingram. Mm-hmm. San Francisco's a running football team, and you have two of the best teams, perhaps the potential Super Bowl matchup, are running football teams, and I've been saying for a while with this Eagles wide receiver core, the formula for success is running the football. That's how they won in Green Bay. That's how they beat Buffalo. That's how they beat Chicago here. I'd like to see Doug Peterson commit to the run, not abandon it if it doesn't work early. And even if you fall behind by a touchdown, stick to it.
Well, it's certainly, I went just to see, because obviously the big difference is that Jordan Howard was part of those games that you said was successful.
Yeah.
So 15 carries, 87 yards in the Packers. The Buffalo one was huge, 23 for 96. Mm. And then the Chicago, I had forgotten about that, but 19 for 82. But you stayed committed.
Yeah.
You stayed committed.
It does make a difference in that you got Jordan Howard in those three games. Now you don't.
Now you don't. But it's not to say that you shouldn't try to make some kind of steady diet beginning with Miles Sanders.
Right.
And see what you have in Ajayi. I have no idea.
He looked okay last week. Yeah. There were three runs and then one that was 9 or 11 yards. I forget what it was that was called back because of a penalty.
Oh, yeah.
He had a couple nice runs last week where he looked okay. And I wouldn't mind seeing Ajayi get 8 to 10 tomorrow. Miles Sanders get 12 to 15 and then go from there. Now, if you don't have Ertz, you're going to have to rely more on Dallas Goedert. But the fact that you have Alshon coming back, I know he's fallen off a cliff. I know Alshon's not the 2017 guy. He's not even a 2018 Alshon. But if you could get him back tomorrow, contribute at all in any way, even the threat of Alshon can open things up. And Nelson Aguilar, I don't know how much worse he can get than he is right now. So any kind of positive contribution from Nelson Aguilar is going to be a benefit.
Bonus.
Right?
Bonus coverage.
I feel like you got to go into this game. And here's the thing. This defense is playing so well, and I think they're getting better. They're getting more familiarity with each other. They're adding more pieces. Now they got Kravon coming back into the mix. They gave him a contract extension before the season because they liked what he did the last four or five games last year and into the playoffs. I think you have an opportunity with this defense to where you don't have to score 30 points. You can win football games 23-17. Now get to the 23 because the last 2 weeks they held him to 17 and couldn't get past 10. Jay in Overbrook, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how's it going? This question and comment, I'm kind of want to pick D's brain as far as I don't think this Sixers coach, Brett Brown, I love him as a dude. I think he has been a wonderful steward, but I don't think that he is the guy to take the Sixers to the next level. Everything that this team does is a struggle. They've had an exception with that Miami game where they just destroyed them. But that clunky offense, they're not getting the maximum out of 180. Everybody know 180 is Tobias Harris. And just the under 5 seconds. I hear that guy, 5, 4. You know, the shot clock guy. Every possession. It's like nothing is smooth. And after so many years, he hasn't developed an identity of what this team is and the constant bad turnovers that lead to 3 points. I just wanted to get Dee's opinion on, you know, I know you guys don't go after coaches. That's not what you do. But do you see what I see?
I absolutely hear what you're saying. I will say this, the turnovers, and I think anybody who listens to me, have bothered me for 6 years. I don't think you're getting better if you remain at the bottom of the league, 29 or 30, year after year after year, and now you're probably going to be a 55-win team, and you're still at the bottom of that category. So that one bothers me just as much as it bothers you. What I will say, in terms of identity, I think they do have an identity, and it's being invested in two guys. And that's basically Ben Simmons, who is limited, and a Joel Embiid who would prefer to turn and face and take it off the dribble than post a guy on the low block. So, and he still gets his 27 and 17, or what I think that's what he had last night. So yeah. It's hard for me sometimes to really come hard at Embiid, because at the end of the day, he is delivering you numbers. And with the Ben Simmons, like, you know, they loved that steal at the end of the game, and it did solidify that win for them against the Knicks. But I will tell you, I don't know that I can have him in the fourth quarter. Once again, he's 50% at the foul line, 5 of 10. So they have him inbound the ball in any of those tight situations in the fourth quarter. But honestly, at some point, I got to question and say, Brett, can you really have him on the floor in a fourth quarter? Because Hack of Ben is, you know, it's very real.
Do you think, real fast, do you think that, like, their system, that offense, every shot clock is down to 5, that passing motion? I mean, to me, I see them winning 55, 58 games and a second-round exit again.
Well, I've said all along that that's part of the problem. You're not able to see if they can be better in those situations, because possessions become fewer in the postseason, and we're not there yet. They get out in transition, and I hear you with late in the shot clock. Part of that is because they don't call specific plays. Everything kind of comes out of motion for them, and it's a read and react. So that's kind of why it looks like it's always late in a clock.
Jay, appreciate the call. You think part of that, though, D, is struggling right now because it's fairly early in the season. You're 19 games into the season. You had a lot of new parts, Josh True. Richardson, yep. Al Horford, and not in new pieces. Do you think there's still, is it fair to assess them now, or do we have to wait until really after Christmas into January to understand what this team is going to be?
Well, that's what Brett would like you to do, and he would like no, he did, and
right.
He said it.
Yeah,
he thought that he would be able to put them together offensively quicker than he is, and so you have these interesting pieces, and he still swears by having them, but having it score you points has been a way bigger challenge than he thought when it was assembled, you know, just on paper.
Jake in Harrisburg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Robin D. Nice to talk to you, too.
You
How are you, buddy?
Well.
My main concern with the Eagles is mainly Jordan Howard being out. He was definitely ruled out for tomorrow about an hour ago for the Eagles.
Yeah, he's not playing. Yeah, once you're not cleared to practice on Friday, you're not playing on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. But my problem with that is when you go back and you look at the injury, didn't it happen at the end of the Chicago Bears game?
Yeah.
So that's what, about a month now, and he's still having this trouble. I mean, I know a stinger can linger and stuff, but have you heard anything about this? Do we have to worry about this going forward?
Well, at this point, when it's taken this long, and it happened November 3rd,
yeah,
and
November
we're now
3rd.
November 30th, and it's really a full month, I would think there's definitely some concern. I've heard some people question whether it's beyond just a stinger. We never know. We don't have the medical reports. We don't have the insight to they're not sharing with us fully the details of everything. I don't know that this is going to be something that keeps him out for the rest of the year, but I know they could beat the Miami Dolphins and roll up on Miami without Jordan Howard. They shouldn't have tomorrow. So I think what you need to do is let him get ready. If it takes another 2 weeks, it takes another two weeks.
I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see him till Dallas.
Yeah.
I would hope he doesn't, you know, play when he can't play, you know what I mean, against a team like this or something. But at the same time, our offense is very, you know,
stagnant.
You can be overrating our offense a little bit there as well, because our offense has looked abysmal. And there's only one game this season that we won without Jordan Howard having a rushing TD, and that was against Washington, where a lot of fans think that if we would have featured Jordan Howard earlier, we might have maybe grabbed a game versus Atlanta or Detroit. And might be in a different position right now.
Oh, I agree with that.
Jordan Howard's been a focal point of setting up the run game for the pass game in this Eagles offense. You talked about it, how the Eagles offense this year has been a lot about the run, and that's been a lot of their game. And it doesn't seem like Dougie P trusts Miles Sanders. He did early in the year, and he went away with that, promoting Jordan Howard to the feature back. And in a lot of games recently, he starts off with the run, and when Miles Sanders doesn't have a productive run, he gets away from it. And that's been a huge point in the recent games for the lack of success, I feel.
Yeah, no doubt. And there was a point last week where they're down only 7. It's in the third quarter, and Miles Sanders gets 2 runs for 7 and 8 yards, gets 15 yards on that, and doesn't get the ball again in a one-score game. I thought, and Jake, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you. I do think he's got a tendency to go away from the run too quickly, especially if there's like, and I think the play design on some of these runs are not conducive to them having productive
success. Yeah.
When you're tossing or doing a shotgun handoff to Miles Sanders on 3rd and 1. Now, why do you have to make a guy run 6 yards to get one yard? even if you thought you weren't in position for a sneak, it was a long one, maybe 1.5, closer to 2, whatever it was, all right, line up under center, which was what they did a lot with Jordan Howard, a little bit more than they have in years past, is line up Carson Wentz under center, hand the ball off, let that big, highly priced offensive line do their job and run block. And we didn't even get into Lane Johnson getting a contract extension. Brandon Brooks got one a couple weeks ago. They're paying these guys now
a lot of money,
a ton of money.
Combined, that's $84 million guaranteed.
Guaranteed, yeah. Guaranteed. On the right side of that offensive line, go out there, run behind these guys, get those first downs, keep the sticks moving, keep the chains moving, and control the clock and set up the play action and take some pressure off this passing attack. 610-632-0975. I have a question for you, D. When we come back on Tobias Harris,
sure.
I want to see your thoughts on how he's really assimilated himself right now. 610-632-0975. She's D-Line. I'm Rob Motti, 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
12:30, 975 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti and D-Line. I'm taking you till Flyer Hockey. Flyers are in Montreal, coming off a W yesterday. Sixers tonight at home against Indiana, coming off, what have they won, 5 out of 6 now? 13-6 for the Sixers?
Still undefeated at home.
Still undefeated at home, which should be a good thing for the postseason if you can get a game here or there on the road. That'll help you out. Right now, as you look at this team, D, 13-6, 19 games in, I wanted to ask you about Tobias. I kind of feel like he's sometimes too unselfish. Doesn't attack enough. Maybe waits. Yesterday, did he go about 12? Did he go the whole first quarter without a point?
That may have been. I want to say that he had 6 at the half.
Does he need to be encouraged sometimes to go, hey, it's okay. You're getting paid you're getting paid the max. Go be the guy.
Well, I'll tell you this. I happen to be watching because there's a lot of people who feel that way, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm watching the post-game show, and Mark Jackson was saying how he used to disappear last year a lot. Like, you know, if he wasn't involved early, then he would just go and, you know, hey, this is Joel and Ben's team, right? And so then what the reality of the situation is now, it's Joel and you from an offensive standpoint.
Not Ben.
And don't feel bad about that. And I think you saw that in the second half last night. He attacked the rim. I think he's still, whether he wants to tell you or not, the truth of the matter is he's shooting less than 30% again from three-point range.
What is that about? Because he was better in L.A.
He was 100% better. He was shooting 43%, close to it, 42.3.
Yeah.
But I saw where he had the ball going baseline, and he did a step back to shoot the corner three up, like if you're watching the TV on the far side. That was encouraging to me because when I don't feel like he mentally feels that is a strength of his game right now, and when you're shooting 29%, I wouldn't feel like it's a strength.
Right.
But for him to consciously ready to go baseline and pull back and pull up, I thought that was a good sign yesterday.
So there could be some signs that he might, you're seeing some signs that he might be ready to be a little bit more aggressive.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
It might that be something that
somebody
got to be in his
him.
Ear.
Yeah. Got to tell him.
Got just, hey, go for it.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah. This is so much further down the totem pole, but I hear it about Zaire Smith in the G League, who's, you know, been on assignment most of the year. And they say, you know, he's unselfish to a fault. I don't want to hear that. I'm sorry. You know, good for you. It's a nice quality. Use it when you're like, you know, doing Christmas shopping or whatever. You know what I mean? Don't tell me that on the court.
Go out there, be aggressive.
You are a first round NBA selection. You are an athletic guy. You've been around the NBA for now 2 years, you know, a year and a half, even though it wasn't the best start that you wanted. You're supposed to be able to be the guy on that court.
Especially
down in the G League.
Yeah, especially down there.
Gotta be the best.
Jimmy and Mount Holly, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Jimmy?
Yeah, for those that are talking cakewalks and running the table, surely there is a bakery next to a pool hall, so you can walk to the bakery, get a nice big old 7-layer, and go into the pool hall and try to run the table there. I don't know how anyone thinks that this team has the capacity to run the table. It'll start this tomorrow in Miami. I mean, I doubt very much they're going to lose, and I also doubt very much they're going to come close to beating any 9 points. D, would you agree that this offense couldn't beat an all-star team of Shippensburg and Slippery Rock?
Are we still talking about the Eagles?
Yeah.
Just making sure, Jimmy, just making sure. I would say that I would feel better about what their capabilities were with Jordan Howard back. He is not back. But I think if you get Jeffrey and Aguilar, you're supposed to be okay.
But as far as running any table, I mean, both of you, please.
You have four teams that have 2 wins.
You're well-schooled in sports. I mean, you've watched this team. I mean, are they going to run any tables? You know, some 8-8 is going to win this division, and I'm not sure.
Jimmy, they're
playing four teams that have 2 wins.
They're playing terrible teams, and Dallas is a team that could be without a coach by the time they face. I think that'll be the toughest game for them. You can't look ahead and go, you're going to run a table and win 5 games, but it's very well within their reach. They have to go out there, play their game 1 week at a time. Defense is playing well. Offense, when this offense is healthy, when you have now Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks, hopefully both play tomorrow. They're supposed to play tomorrow. Alshon, I don't know what he's going to give you, but at least he's going to give it a go. Nelson's going to give it a go. This team is good enough to beat this dreck that they have coming up on the schedule.
Let's talk about terrible teams then, shall we? 4 weeks ago, the Jets were equally, if not more terrible than these terrible teams. Now they look like the Baltimore Ravens light. The Giants will get well tomorrow, by the way. I mean, everybody in the world loves Green Bay. I don't know why. I mean, if you're watching Green Bay, you're watching a team that just got trucked by San Francisco 2 weeks prior to that, that rotten San Diego team beat them 26-11. If the Giants were to win, and I expect them to do just that.
You expect the Giants to beat Green Bay?
Adversary.
So you, Jimmy, you're calling a Daniel Jones upset of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? Is that what you're saying?
Well, put it this way, like I just pointed out, Rob, that that dog San Diego team beat them recently,
yeah,
26-11 in San Diego. I mean, this is the phoniest team in the league. First of all, I'm not going to say they're not going to make the playoffs, but another thing, too, the Minnesota Vikings are most certainly going to win that division. In fact, if the Eagles do get in the playoffs, I mean, Green Bay could very well be the opponent in that home game. So, I mean, that and the Redskins, I mean, another terrible team. They're going to go into Carolina and win. Another dead team walking is the Carolina Panthers. And look at the way they lost that game to the Saints. I mean, you can't lose a game worse.
Jimmy, you're pretty high on the NFC East this week, except for the Eagles. You're high on the Redskins and the Giants pulling off these, and I appreciate the call, Jimmy. He was a whole lot more positive on the post game show last week.
He was
a whole lot more positive. And today, I don't know what happened over here.
I will agree that when you said they would run the table, I didn't have the same optimism as you did. I do think that if you just go week to week, and if every time you're facing a team that has two wins, that you have reason to believe this team is better than a two-win team.
And you look at all...
If they're getting healthy.
You look at their schedules, all of those teams, when the Eagles face them, could very well still be two-win teams.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I don't even see W's in there for them. Now, of course, they can upset somebody. I don't see it happening tomorrow for the Giants against Green Bay. Redskins in Carolina. Carolina's a dead team, too. They're 5-6. They're trying to say... I would think they're going to try and save their coach's job and go out there and do the best they can to win that football game. It really doesn't matter. The Eagles should win all of these games. You're playing bad teams. This is your time to step up and get better.
The Dallas one to me was, you know,
it's the toughest one.
Yeah, and it's on your home field, fine. But it will also determine where is Dallas in that moment. You've mentioned the coach. Where is Dak in his brain in that moment?
By then, Dallas could... With the Bears and the Rams coming up on their schedule, they could be 7-7.
Yep.
They could be 6-8. They could be 8-6. It doesn't matter if the Eagles keep winning here on out. And we're not asking the Eagles to go beat New England. We're not asking them to go beat Seattle. We're asking them to go and beat Miami. And then at home on Monday night, New York Giants and then the Washington Redskins.
And all I would say is, do you not see that the Eagles are better? A better team than the Giants or the Redskins right now.
Easily.
I mean, that's just true.
Easily. 610-632-0975. Ed, hang on. We'll get to you next. We got some open lines for you to get in after that. Talk some Sixers. Talk some Eagles. She's D-Line 'em. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, Rob Motti, D-Line. I'm here till Flyer Hockey today at 3-6-1-0-6-3-2-0-9-7-5. Ed, Elkins Park, you're on The Fanatic. What's up, Ed?
I think that backup center will be the first big man off the bench because of the way he can defend that rim. Like, I haven't seen anybody in the league do that. Is he a two-way player, or can we just make him permanent? He's just vicious defending, and he has no fear whatsoever.
He is a two-way player, and his name is Norvell Pell. I have actually been singing his praises dating back to last summer because I thought he actually would be a good backup center for this group. They went and got Kyle O'Quinn, who I think has actually, when he's been able to play, has been good too. But I hear you in that Pell is definitely an NBA talent shot blocker for sure. And you definitely saw that on display last year. I don't think people realize. I mean, the guy was the defensive player of the year in the G League, and he averaged 3 blocks a game. He's a rim protector. He definitely
is.
And
no fear.
And I will tell you this.
He's the only one who would go against a Greek.
Yeah.
I'm serious. At the rim. He's the only one.
Yeah, I was glad he got an opportunity because a healthy Kyle O'Quinn would have prevented him from getting any minutes last night, and Al Horford was on load management. So he needs the situation to be unique like that. But I'm going to guess somewhere on maybe the West Coast trip that he might get another opportunity because of similar situations.
But right now, as of right now, Brent's just not automatically going to put him in a rotation.
Well, with a two-way contract, he's limited to the number of days that he can spend with your NBA team.
Oh, I see.
So every time he does it, you're checking those off. I want to say I think it's like 45 days. I'll double check, but I know it is a limited amount.
He can give 6 fouls a game. No problem.
Well, and the thing is, he goes straight up. I mean, and one of the other things that is unique about him that not every shot blocker can do, he can bounce, go down, and go right back up. Like, mm-hmm. he's that athletic. Yeah. Right. He's,
who did he block last night? Was it Randall?
Randall dunked on him first, okay. And they had to show that, of course, in the highlight. You know, yeah. And I'm like, come on, man. The guy had 4 blocks. And then he got called for another one. They called him for the foul. But, I mean, Ed's not lying. This guy was in the air. And the other thing that he does, Ed, that I don't think people have enough appreciation for, he keeps the block in play. So now he's not trying to be a showboater and sending it into the fifth row. He keeps it in play. So now you're going the opposite way.
That's great.
What's he, 6'10"? Is he 6'10 or 6'11"?
I would say he's 6'11". And I will also tell you that he's 26 going on 27. He may have even had his 27th birthday.
Well, he played all over the world.
He did. He played. He was actually an original. When it was still the developmental league, he was with Delaware.
He was a draft pick.
When they were still with the 87ers. Then he went over.
Good. He's good enough for me. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
When you look at some of the rotational pieces and that they've been, that Brett, I still kind of feel like he's still trying to get a feel for, okay, how am I going to use.
Because he's always, to me, some of them are. You know, they don't know when they're going to get their minutes. Like, he goes back and forth between Neto and Burke. I personally, when I have my choice of starting Thybul and Furkan in the same lineup last night, I probably would have gone with James Ennis at one of those positions.
He gave you, 20 points last night?
He did.
Three threes and
talk about, like, efficient. The guy was 4 of 5 from the floor, 9 of 9 at the line. That's how he got his 20 points.
20 points.
Yeah. Now, but for a stabilizing factor, I would have had Ennis in there as opposed to one of the other. I don't think you can choose the other.
Is Korkmaz just this streaky? Is that what he's going to be, or how can he get out of that?
Well, it's interesting. I think a lot of his is a confidence factor. Now, defensively, he's actually giving you some good defensive plays. He's taken a few charges, and that should be, you can, he's their best 3-point shooter. I mean, that's not even close. But you can ill afford to have him ride the roller coaster, unfortunately. You know, he's got to be above 40% always from 3-point.
And he's just 43, is he 43 overall too?
Well, he's not. I'm going to guess he doesn't shoot many
that aren't threes. Yeah, from the floor.
Yeah, I would bet it's a very small number.
He is at somewhere. I'll get that. And as far as Thybul, he gives you a game where he's got 15 points. Then he gives you a game where he's got nothing. Is that just a matter of, do you think, his inexperience? He's a rookie. He's still trying to get feel his way around the NBA. He's going to have some good games. He's going to have some games where he's basically a defensive presence, but not anything contributing offensively.
Yeah, you know, I the one thing I was a little confused, after the Sacramento game. I don't know if you listened to Brett. And he used the phrase that he irritates to my tolerance level. And I was like, what? What are you talking
does
about?
Does he mean to the coaching staff? Or did he mean defensively to...
Like the gambling, I guess. But I'm just going to tell you, Rob, if you want to go to his plus-minus number, that would be the one area that somebody would point out to him. But for the eye test, I mean, this isn't just about rookies. This kid knows how to defend. I don't know if you saw his block shot on Buddy Hield, for goodness sakes. I mean, you can't get up to do that, most people. So, and he did give you the 5 threes. I think he has a nice-looking shot, personally. I think, you know, from a form standpoint, there's nothing wrong with that.
So what do you think his role eventually is going to be?
Right. Eventually, I mean, I think he's going to become in a different, let's put him in the Mike Scott. He could be a Mike Scott, but I think he's better defensively from an athletic standpoint.
More fluid.
Right. You know, he's going to be able to get you more steals, more blocks than Mike Scott, but Mike Scott's tough. You know, but eventually that should be his role in this league.
All right, getting back to Embiid and Simmons, as you highlighted a little bit ago, with Joel, it's hard to criticize when he's giving you 27-17, 26-13. Now, he did give earlier in the week, and this is our first time on air this week since Toronto, where he was out there and gave you no points in 32 minutes, was 0 for 11, 0 for 4 from 3. I don't know how you could be a guy that big and not get fouled down low. He did go, how many free throws did he miss that game? It was only a handful.
Right, he didn't get there enough for me.
He didn't get there enough.
And at some point, I'm going to dunk on your head.
Right? Yeah. So, how does that happen?
Well, I mean, Gasol has defended him well always.
Is he in his head?
Gasol's a big body. So one of the things, because Joel likes to take you off the dribble, Gasol's just not going to give you anything, right? And now, if you want to say, now does it become a thinking game for Joel? Like, how do I score in this scheme? I would say, okay, I'll give the nod to you on that. But I'm sorry. You know, you're just, I'm not going 32 minutes without a point.
Somehow you got to get a point.
And I'm calling a timeout and I'm posting you and you're going to the line if you don't turn and just try to dunk on that person's head.
That's all you got
to
do.
All you got to do.
And he's bounced back against the Sacramento. Yeah, 33-16. The Knicks last night, 27-17. Does he play tonight?
This was interesting. I don't like when this happens. So last week, when it was the back-to-back, he announced himself ahead of time. So not after last night, but the game before, that he would be playing in the back-to-back.
Yeah, because he called load management BS.
Yes, yeah. So this time around, he did not speak to the media last night.
Yeah, what was that about?
I don't know. I don't like that. I don't think that's right. As a leader of that group, you have to always be made available.
27-17.
Unless he didn't want to answer the question about the load management.
It had to be.
And you'll see that if he doesn't play, then that's going to be, in my opinion, I'll just put two and two together. That's why he didn't talk last night, because he didn't want to talk about that.
I think that's a question he was avoiding last night, because usually he's fine talking to the media.
I gave him kudos for the 0 point performance, because he took the bullets for a while there.
For the most part, he did say the one thing he said that was, it's going to, these things happen or something like that.
Well, me and Ben always seem to say that, like they think that's normal. It's not. But I'm saying he sat there
he did take the blame.
He did not get testy with people saying, you know, how does that happen?
No, and normally he doesn't. He's not that kind. You know, Ben gets testy when he gets pushed and pushed and pushed. 610-632-0975. So we are talking about the 76ers. What you need to see out of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and this entire group right now. They're 13-6 right now. And there's a lot of people who aren't happy with where they are at this point in the season. The Eagles got a big game tomorrow against Miami, a chance to get right, a chance to get back in the win column. And thanks to Buffalo beating Dallas, tie for first place. All they got to do, it's a tough task, is win out, and they are the NFC East champions. Troy, hang on. We'll get to you next. She's D-Line. I'm Rob Motti, 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It is 1 p.m. 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti and D Lionel. We're taking you to Flyers Montreal Canadiens hockey this afternoon. Later on, you got the Sixers at home tonight at the center against the Indiana Pacers, coming off a win last night in New York against the Knicks. I'm not sure yet if Joel Embiid, if you had to guess, D, I would think he's not going to be in it, because Horford rested last night. You bring him back. Kylo Quinn, though, was out with the injury.
Yeah, he was out with the injury. I mean, they can still have Norvell Pelt today if they so choose. I just know what that from a home fan standpoint, that was one of the things that Embiid feels pretty strongly about
playing at home.
Yeah.
Could you, instead of completely give him the night off as part of load management, limit the minutes? Or is that defeat kind of what you're trying to do?
You could. At that point, you know, if you're going to play him, then you just let him play.
It's an interesting debate, because you do need him healthy towards the end of the season. You need him to be able to be in shape. Do you think he's where he should be right now, as far as I still struggle a little bit at the end of games.
I still don't see him run end-to-end all the time. Not, quite frankly, a lot of times.
A lot of times, yeah.
I mean, he's a...
He seems too content hanging out by the perimeter.
He definitely is content out there. And I would say that when he's giving you results, statistically...
Yeah. It's hard to argue when you're getting 27
right,
17.
And believe me, like, he makes it difficult for people to come into the paint. You know, you may
just his mere presence.
His presence. Yeah. And I don't know, like, you could see him switch off last night in pick and roll, and he can keep a guard in front of him for, you know, a couple of seconds there. You know, that guy's not getting right to the rim
past him. He's athletic enough to do that.
Yeah. So
610-632.
And I would say your eye test and my eye test. He's not running up and down.
I want to see better shape. 610-632-60975. Troy's in Norristown. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Troy?
Hey, how you doing?
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Last question. I just think Brett Brown's not getting enough out of Ben Simmons. I don't think he's pushing him hard enough. I don't think he's putting him in the right situation for him to succeed. I like Brett Brown. I've been a fan of his ever since, but the last year or so now, he's getting a little tiresome. I just think that we need to go in a different direction. If not this season, definitely next.
Let me ask you a question. I'm assuming you're saying he's not pushing him hard enough to be a greater producer on offense.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, like, pushed him to shoot more. And not because y'all, but just one little quick one. It just irks me when he gets to, like, around the foul line, around the corner there, just around, like, anywhere, like, around the paint, and he stops and looks to pass the ball. Shoot the ball, man. Come on.
One of his worst, and if you wanted to make a rule, you can't give your kids too many rules, right? We have the ones that are your most important.
Yes.
The one that I would absolutely take away from him is if you get to the paint and I see you turn around and throw it behind you, leaving your feet, you got to come out. I'm sorry. I got to replace you, because that is so, you got to get that out of his game.
He does that a lot.
He does it a lot. And his turnovers right now, he's almost at 4 a game, 3.8. And
he's up. He's gone up in turnovers.
He has. Yeah. It's a higher number. Mm-hmm. But if you listen to Brett, you can tell that he is definitely judging Simmons' progress as a player totally through a defensive lens. Because he constantly is telling me this guy will be first team All NBA. and that you can put him on the best perimeter players. I try to look at it like that. I don't always see it the same way Brett does. I thought he had a game at home recently, not the Sacramento, probably the game before that, which I can't remember who it was. I thought he looked incredibly lethargic, and I didn't see the same defense that Brett saw that night.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. I mean, if he someday just realizes his full potential and asserts himself on the scoring end, I mean, he should be a triple-double machine. Constantly. I mean, I look at the guy from Dallas.
Yeah, Luka Doncic, who's a half an assist away per game from averaging a triple-double, and it's his second year in the league.
Yeah. And that's unbelievable. You know, 6'10 point guard, you see over top of everybody, you know, you can facilitate, you can drive. I mean,
we hear that, Troy. Appreciate the call, man.
Thank you.
And one of the things, you know, Ben doesn't get to the line enough for me. He gets there for 3.4 attempts.
Well, he's also down there, too. His points are down from 16.9 to 12.8. His rebounds are down 8.8 to 7, and assists are slightly up 7.7 to 8.1, but free throw percentage.
And his steals, 2.2 is probably higher without me looking.
Yeah, it is, than 1.4.
Yeah, okay.
But his free throw percentage is now down to 57 from 60 last year.
You can't go backwards in that category.
You certainly
can. Sorry.
Yeah, you absolutely can't go backwards in that category, and you need to get to 70, 75. To be,
but this is we're 3 years into saying get to that, and we're now 13-6, yeah. So we're 19. Tonight will be 20 games. You're about a quarter of the season, and you are nowhere near 70% at the line.
That's concerning. Absolutely,
it is to me, because that's
absolutely concerning.
Then you are just treading water. You are not getting better. And I know Brett wants me to see it from look at where he has come defensively. Okay, but there is a lot. More to the game, and you have to improve in all areas, not just one.
He's played 17 of the 19 so far, taking the 1 3-pointer, then there was the desperation three, but the one legitimate 3-pointer, and he made it. Still obviously clearly reluctant to shoot the ball, still prone to a lot of the same mistakes that we've seen. At what point do you look at Ben Simmons and go, this is who he is? I know he's only 23, and he's got so much room to grow and so much potential to live up to. But when does that line get passed and you go, okay, you got this potential, you're not fulfilling it. This is who you are. This is what he's going to be.
Well, I'll tell you this, that you're going to know a lot in April or May of who he really is. Is he still the same guy? Or, as a group, have you figured out that his areas that concern you, because you've added an Al Horford, Tobias is there without Jimmy, Josh Richardson is who he is, and you have the crown jewel, that you can get by with it? We'll see. I don't think it's ever advantageous when it becomes 4-on-5. It just is not advantageous.
Certainly not in a game 7 or a game 6 or whatever it is on the road in the playoffs.
Because
when you're at a disadvantage,
becomes a half court game.
Then you're absolutely at a disadvantage. Drew in Westchester, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, Drew?
Yo, what's going on, Rob? What's going on, D? How you guys doing?
Hello. All right,
bud. Good. So, real quick, I just wanted to give a little love to my guys, Dylan and Josh, for their pants, you know.
They went with the pajama pants, and they lived up to the bet, and they fulfilled their end of the bargain.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with pajama pants, Rob. I mean, I wear my pajama pants sometimes out.
Oh, come on,
and,
man.
Just like a quick stop at Wawa or something. Nothing major, you know, but, you know,
you don't go by the Joe DiMaggio theory. When they asked Joe D way back, whenever it was, how do you play so hard all the time? And he said, you know, that one time one kid comes see me play might be the only time he sees me play. So I got to give it my best. So in your eyes, when you're going out there, you might run into someone who that could be the only time they ever see you. And now you're presenting yourself to them at Wawa or wherever it is you're going, Drew, in a pair of pajama pants. You're okay with that?
Wow. Now that you put it that way, Rob, got me totally reconsidering my whole train of thought. I think I gotta take that back now. I'm sorry. You guys are cool. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not asking you to wear a suit now to the grocery store. Don't worry about it, man.
I hear you, bro. So about the Sixers, I thought last night, you know, good comeback win. I thought Tobias Harris was real strong in the third, which we really needed from him. But here's my question here. What do you guys think about putting James Ennis in as a starter there when we're out Horford or Richardson instead of Korkmaz or Thibault? I mean, I like Thibault, but especially instead of Korkmaz.
Well, I don't know if you were listening, but I said that to Rob earlier in the show, that when you were presented that Josh was out in addition to Horford, I would have gone Ennis and I would let them have their pick of Furkan or Thibault, whatever their choice was.
Okay,
given the
you're with me. With me on that day.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Yeah, right on that. So, and another thing I really like, I like seeing Embiid going strong to the net. You know, I mean, that's what we got to see from him. We got to see him going to the net, taking those dirty fouls, getting those free throws. And, you know, he's not going to make them all, but that's where, you know, you definitely see a dominant play in his game when he's doing that.
Yeah, Embiid, I mean, he, to me, gets to the line. I know he's averaging, I think, 8 free throws a game. He probably could be a double-digit guy, in my opinion, there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would say I don't always feel like it's a consistent in his mind. Like, Allen Iverson always, it was his intent to try to get 10 free throws every game. Period.
Yeah, right. That's my complaint. It's not a consistent thing.
That's
when I think
when
we do see it being, you know, more consistent is when we're going to really reap the advantages.
And as a group, just so you know, he accounts for 8. They only attempt 22 free throws, which is down in the lower third. And he's giving you 8, which means the other guys don't attack the rim quite hard enough, in my opinion.
Wow, that's a good point, too, Dan. All right, guys.
Drew, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Josh Richardson's status, do we know for tonight? Is he is he a game-time decision?
So he didn't come back in the Sacto game because of the hamstring in the second half and then didn't play yesterday.
I would think that's probably not a good sign that he's going to play tonight.
No.
Usually something
and
like
he
that.
Played it's, so it's, good in that Miami
tight.
Game.
That stuff like that lingers. So you might not have him. Maybe that plays into the decision whether or not they give Embiid a night off. Indiana's a good team. Indiana's what, 12-5?
12-6. Yeah, and they won in OT last night at Atlanta. Was
so
it at Atlanta or was it
it's
home?
A back-to-back for them, too.
I think they were at home.
Sabonis, 18.8. Yeah. Brogdon, 18. Both guys are averaging 18.8.
Their starting five will give you double digits across the board. Their bench... But what they do is they don't let you get a full dose of 5 guys ever. You know, he keeps somebody out
there.
He's
rotating somebody.
Because if you go to their bench scoring, there's practically nothing there.
It should be an interesting matchup tonight. We'll see how it goes. But
and I got to think at some point when T.J. McConnell is checks in, that place gives
that's
him
what
a
I was about to get
up.
To. What's that going to sound like? It's going to be.
Oh, it'll give him a standing
no
up.
No doubt, right?
I don't think for a role player that you will ever see a reception that I can remember, at least from a basketball standpoint.
I'm trying
standpoint.
To think all sports, and I can't think of anyone.
For a role guy.
Yeah, all four teams in this city.
That place will give him a standing O.
I can't think of a Phillies player who was like a utility bench guy. I mean, Matt Stairs, because he hit the home run. They won a World Series in 08, but
yeah.
I can't think of anybody else.
I brought up Aaron Rowan running into the wall.
But he was a starter, though.
Yeah.
Aaron, he was an all-star his last year
in
Philly.
And an everyday guy.
Yeah, an everyday guy. A role player.
And really, TJ's last year here.
Maybe a flyer guy? I don't know. Was there any role players? Like anybody who was known for just...
just coming in and maybe...
Fighting, maybe.
Fights,
yeah, coming in. Who Frank the Animal, Bilo. I don't think anybody... Really, as a role player, what TJ was, because he wasn't a starter.
And for a good chunk of last year, he didn't even get minutes.
That's true. Yeah, and he's going to absolutely get a great reception tonight, and that'll be fun.
That'll be great.
That'll certainly be enjoyable.
And then he'll pick up somebody full court, get some steal like he used to do
in the end.
Before, that he used to do for the Sixers.
You think maybe they give him just a...
put him in a starting lineup so he can get announced as a starter?
No.
No? You don't do that?
Nate wouldn't.
No?
No.
610-632-0975. You know, I don't want to get any further into it without giving out my Eagles score, because I gave it out on Tuesday on my show. And there were some eyebrows raised because, how are they going to score that many points? And we were at a restaurant.
You already told me that you say not only do they have to win, you need them to cover.
I need a blowout win. Just a absolutely convincing win, and I think you get it, 36-6.
Whoa!
I went 36-6 for tomorrow.
I can't go that
way. I just see them coming out, clicking on offense, finally getting some healthy guys back in there. You know what it's going to be like in Miami? I talked to a lot of people who are going down there. And isn't Anthony down there, too?
Anthony's down there. Anthony's down there.
Jamie Lynch is down there.
I think they're, on a cruise.
Yeah. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Cruising around South Beach and then going to the football game?
I think the cruise is tonight.
Okay.
And then the tailgate is tomorrow.
It's going to be like the link down there tomorrow. It's going to be overwhelming Eagles fans. The only slight concern for me is Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I think this defense, you get some pressure on them. I like the way the defense is played. They're going to be able to roll up in there and take on Miami. 36-6. I got a 30-point win, and people are going to be feeling real good tomorrow by 4:15.
Okay.
You're not quite ready to go blowout. No?
I don't mind I'll go blowout with you. I just don't see 36.
Not 36.
I'll give you that they could hold them to 6 points.
They very well could. Hey, when you hold Tom Brady and Russell Wilson to 17,
then you're doing your job.
And the only way I think maybe not is if you're up by that many and they get a garbage touchdown late to make it 13 or 10 or 12. But I'll stick with my 36-6. Let's go to Chris in Williamstown. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
You know, Rob, that's if Doug Peterson doesn't now coach himself tomorrow and pull one of those mind funks that he did a couple years ago against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then led to the Kansas City game where he finally got that he needed to run the ball some more. You know, Doug is prone to those little mind farts here and there. I hope he doesn't have one tomorrow, because if you do, the people are going to be at the door like it was in draft day in the Seahawks locker room after they traded away Bo Callahan to the spot and everything. You know, just having people sitting outside of the fence, man, because if you lose to the Dolphins, like it's good. I think they're going to win. I don't think it's going to be I'm not ready to jump on board. I'm with D, I guess, but I think I'm a little bit more further away, because unless, you know, Alshon goes, you know, we got close to a full allotment, I still don't think it matters, because I think Carson Wentz is confident. I think your pal's confidence is shot right now. I do. I think he, when it comes to throwing the ball, I just don't know that he trusts himself enough to make some of the play. Now, at times he makes some great throws in between the seams, don't get me wrong, but then there's times where he either sails it or he misses the guy.
He sailed it to Tomas Sanders, and you know, we didn't have this last week when we did the post game show. I'm sure you did. Everybody's seen it by now. Dan Orlovsky's video that he put out like the day after or 2 days later. I was critical of the 4th-and-2 pass to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I thought J.J. should have caught it, but I was questioning Carson Wentz's mechanics on that. And then after looking at the breakdown and after looking at the tape and seeing that he had a pump, J.J. was where he was supposed to be, then hopped out.
He didn't get help. The opposite way?
What's that?
Didn't he turn the opposite way on one of the plays?
Yeah, he jumped outside. Yeah. And then even Greg Ward, who we gave a lot of praise to for coming in off the street, really off the practice squad, for 6 catches for 54 yards, there was a 3rd-and-5 play where I thought Carson underthrew him. And when you go back and look at the film and look at the tape, it was supposed to be a 6-yard route. This was Bryce Tregg's former Eagle wide receiver who was here for like a cup of coffee in 2016. Greg Ward ran the wrong route and Carson threw it where it should have been. So I'm hopeful that at least tomorrow, Alshon and Nelson Aguilar will run the correct routes. And that, if you do that, you can get some more completions and just get on a roll against this team and get some confidence back. That's what they do need, Chris. They need some confidence back.
No. There's one word, and I'm going to even tie this to the Sixers. Gel. They need hair gel, man, because you know what? You see learning guys' tendencies. I don't know, bad route, you ran the wrong route, but knowing this guy may do Like, that's something that you build that rapport with. Maybe these other guys, Allison and Dishar, have done that, but Carson Wentz has found a way to make it happen. Like, we don't know that unless we really go and break down everything. But when it applies to the Sixers, like, I still think they're going through that to a certain degree. Like, you know, D, I got to rely on you. Why is it at times I see Kylo Quinn come in, other times now I think he's injured?
Yeah, he was out. He was out last night. Oh. And Deal answer that, and we got to let you go. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the call, man. Thank you.
Kylo Quinn, when he's been on the floor, he's no problem for me. I don't know what he was going to say.
No, I think he was talking about the rotational, why sometimes you see him and why sometimes you don't. Why is he in there for like 3 minutes one game,
right,
and then one game he gets 15 minutes?
Well, because I think I'd have to look at the matchups that I've seen, but he plays Al Horford at the five some. Mm-hmm. If the matchup is more advantageous for Kylo Quinn to be the backup five, he does that. I mean, he has options.
So
there.
Yeah, he does have.
I mean, honestly, last night, if they hadn't gone with Norvell Pell, you know, and hadn't brought him up from the G League team, my dad and I were talking, like, you could play Ben Simmons as a backup five. He could.
You very well could, right?
Get the boards, kick it out, let's go.
Could he be better suited for that role? I mean, I know Brett loves him.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You're not going to do it.
And I'm glad Norvell got it. I told you, I'm a fan of the kid. So, but you're not totally hamstrung there when you don't have an Al Horford and Kylo Quinn was hurt.
610-632-0975. Jay says TJ deserves a standing O for his dedication and effort during the process.
Yeah.
If I had a choice on who would be ringing the bell tonight,
he
would be Dario flown in from Phoenix.
No, I wouldn't want TJ would be great at ringing the bell.
They couldn't do that because he's on the other team. Would Indiana not? Is that not offensive to a team to ask their guy?
Yeah,
to ring the bell.
That's a good point.
But that
would be cool.
I think fans would go nuts if TJ rang the bell tonight.
It would be.
I don't know if there's a better option for tonight. Let TJ ring that bell. All right, 610.
It's already been decided. We do know that.
How soon? Like isn't it?
It's one of the best kept secrets.
It really is.
Let me just say, you know, I'm good friends with Matty Cord.
Yeah,
Matty Cord doesn't always get told.
He doesn't
doing
know,
it. And because he's the one who announces it.
Yeah,
and you'd like to be able to practice, make sure you know what the guy.
They just hand it to him right before.
Yeah, hand it cold.
How about that? And it just shows what a professional he is because he makes it sound like...
he's
known all day. 610-632-0975. Jay and Lamar, hang on. We'll get to you next. You can be in after them. She's D-Line. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. The Fanatic.
And welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti and D. Lineham. This weekend's programming is brought to you by McLaughlin Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your local HVAC experts. McLaughlin service expected, satisfaction guaranteed. Visit McLaughlinPHC.com. 610-632-0975. A lot of Sixers, Eagles conversation as we get you set for Flyers hockey later on, and then Sixers tonight, all here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay and Sheltenham, you're on 97.5. What's up, Jay?
What's up, Rob? What's going on, brother?
How are you, my man?
Hey, D, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I love hearing from y'all, man. I got both of my favorite hosts on at the same time. Can't believe it.
Oh, thank you, Jay.
Oh, man.
All the hosts. I know you do. We appreciate that, my man.
No, sir, brother. True and genuine compliments there.
Thank you, sir.
Listen, this is my thing about the Sixers, what I think would bring a little bit more life out of the offense. I was thinking about this. I want to see Embiid a lot more decisive with the double teams. when I, you know, I was just looking before I left home today. I was looking at on NBA TV. I was looking at the oldest Suns from '93, and I just was thinking about all the big men over the '90s up to where we are now. When you send a double team to them, they know what to do. And this last game against the Knicks, I did see him making quick moves to either beat the double team
yep.
before it came, or he was making the quick, decisive pass. And that was something, and I started thinking about that after the zero-point game against the Raptors. I'm like, what is the problem? And I think that's one of them, making quicker decisions. Don't let the defense set up on you and collapse on you. You know what I mean?
Yep, I totally agree with you, because I think he sits and waits and thinks. It's yeah. And when it's right in front of me, when it's at the Wells Fargo, it's troublesome. But I would agree, last night I thought he was much better, and I think Brett... But some of that is now everybody knows that this has been a problem for him. So they're all sending yeah. doubles at him every time he touches the ball until he makes you pay for it in a different way, or his teammates yeah. make you pay. You know, the game yeah. against Sacramento, they missed a lot of shots.
Uh-huh.
So it's definitely a work in progress.
Yeah, D, I want to see him move a little bit quicker, with, you know, as far as the double teams. We should never see that zero-point game again.
He probably
like
won't.
Like you said, he was thinking too much. But, Rob, I was thinking, man, before the Cowboys and Eagles played last time, brother, I don't know if you remember, a couple hours before the game, you and I talked, and I told you to watch how the Eagles respond to the game, whether it's a win or loss, and watch how my Cowboys respond, because the Cowboys will play that game like it's the NFC Championship and then lose their concentration for the rest of the year. That's exactly what I saw. So I'd like to end this call with a moment of silence for my Cowboys. Hopefully we get a new coach.
Jay, appreciate it, man. Thank you. He's the best Cowboy caller out there. Jay is. He's always respectful. It's tough to look at the Cowboys and say their season's not over, but when you look at the makeup of this NFC, it's either Eagles or Cowboys are coming out of this East.
Absolutely.
So if you're a Cowboy fan, you still have hope in that. The Eagles are so wildly inconsistent. Even if they win tomorrow and win against the Giants and win against the Redskins, if Dallas could take care of business, I still feel that it's going to come down to Week 16.
December
22nd. Winner take all.
Yep.
Lamar in Philly, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, Lamar?
How you making out, Rob?
Doing good, buddy. How are you?
Not too bad, man. I got a couple issues that I feel like have been bothering me, man. I want to get up my chest about listening to the radio this week.
Yeah. Sure.
And one of the issues is hearing different guys on the radio on this station discredit Michael Vick's opinion, but basically gives credit to Dan Orlovsky's. And I've even heard it go as far as saying Michael Vick has won nothing in this league, so his opinion really doesn't really matter. Well, I question, if that's the case, why are we listening to Dan Orlovsky?
I don't know who said what on this station all week, but you and I can have a conversation about what Michael Vick said and about what Dan Orlovsky said and discuss what I have to say on it, Lamar. I can't comment on what anyone else said. I don't know who said what, to be honest with you. But as far as what Michael Vick said, Michael Vick, I don't feel said what he said with a lot of conviction. I heard the interview. It was a lot of, I don't know who the other dude was who was making the point. And basically, it wasn't analyzing anything that he saw as far as play to play. It was just a general comment that he thought Carson Wentz is set up for failure or is going to fail here in Philly because of Nick Foles' success here in Philly. And that's his opinion. Everyone's got one. He thinks that Carson's going to fail here. It's harder to have success here than it is to fail here. So I'm not going to discredit what Michael Vick said at all, but what Dan Orlovsky did was break down actual tape and actual film and look at individual plays. And Dan is an excellent analyst, and in that particular little segment that he posted on there, I think he shed light on a couple pass patterns that were run that to a lot of observers, the naked eye, we don't know. And here's the thing. Day-to-day, game-to-game, week-in and week-out, each throw, we don't know. And I can say this, too, about the secondary when there's a blown coverage, Lamar. You see a blown coverage, and we blame the cornerback, but sometimes the cornerback didn't have it wasn't supposed to be on that guy, and maybe it's on the safety. And we don't know until we go back, look at the tape, and then somebody's got to tell us. In those cases yesterday, in those cases on Sunday, those particular passes to J.J. and the one to Greg Ward – it looked like Carson missed, breaking it down, talking about the pattern. They ran the wrong route.
Okay, well, my thing in closing would be at two other points I want to get to, and I'll get right off. One of them is the J.J. Arcega pass that everybody's talking about. If I'm looking at that on my DVR, and I've rewinded it several times now, if I'm rewinding that, when he goes to make his break toward the outside, he's now leaning toward the outside. At that particular time, I paused it and screenshot it and sent it to a friend. I'm saying if I'm the quarterback, I see this guy have went outside, regardless whether it's inside or outside, I'm not going to be that stubborn at quarterback to say, you know what, I'm still throwing it inside to your inside shoulder. Because
Lamar, he had thrown the ball, though, when J.J. hopped out. He had the ball had already been released. You don't have the same. Do you have the shot that has JJ and Carson in the same shot?
No, I got a shot of Carson. But my thing is, when you try to rewind it, it's what you see. But I guess it's just going to be like it's just going to be my opinion versus everybody else's opinion. But neither here nor there. My last point would be, Rob, before I let you go, is something else that's bothering me, and I had to get it off my chest. We're still talking about Nick Foles, and then we're even as going as far as to say, like, he's playing horrible in Jacksonville, and they're losing. That's inaccurate. Jacksonville has given up 150 points in three games. Nick Foles has threw for 650 yards, three touchdowns, and one interception. So why are we still finding the reason to bag him?
I don't know who's saying he's horrible. He's got a 90-point
score.
Yeah, the team's terrible. He's completed 68% of his passes, 643 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. They're not scoring points. It's a team game. They're 0-3 in his starts. I would never bash Nick Foles, Lamar, and I appreciate the call, man. Thank you. I'm not here to bash Nick Foles. I'll just tell you that the team's not playing well at all. The Jacksonville, they're just a bad football team, whether it's Nick Foles or Gardner Minshew or Tom Brady next year, whoever's their quarterback. They're not a good football team right now. I don't know who here had any comments about the Michael Vick situation.
I don't know, but the only thing I will say, first of all, he's a guest on a show where Speak Up or whatever it's...
Is that what... Yeah, I don't know what the
FS1,
show is called.
But the other thing is, he does, if you're having this conversation on a show like that, he played in this town. He was a quarterback.
He knows what it takes here.
He knows when he got here, he was given a second chance. There were a lot of people who didn't feel good about that on him. And
I saw the people standing out there with the signs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Protesting.
He would have an opinion about what it takes as an individual to succeed. And he can be, you know, judging what it was for Nick Foles and what it was for himself, what it is for Carson, just by having been in the shoes. That's all I'm saying.
And he played with Nick. And he basically, the year that Nick had the 29-2 season, Michael Vick was the starting quarterback. He got hurt. Nick Foles jumped in, stepped in against the Giants, took over, led them to a win, then another one, then had the 7-touchdown game. Then when Vick was ready to come back, he didn't make any noise about it. He understood that his time is up here.
Sure.
And Nick Foles he was a leader. Michael Vick did a good job in that locker room as a leader, didn't make any issues, didn't cause any waves. It was really an opinion based on, I think, the environment, the pressure. It wasn't really, he wasn't breaking down his play.
No.
He was just talking about what it takes to succeed here
as a quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. And let's face it, I understood when he said the bar was set.
It's very high. Yeah.
So high by one individual that's his legacy here.
Here's what happens, D, is that Michael Vick makes that comment and all the Carson Wentz bashers want to jump onto it, latch onto it, and go, see, even Michael Vick said it. And then everyone who supports Carson wants to say, oh, well, what did, according to Lamar, and I didn't hear it, what did Michael Vick ever accomplish? Well, Michael Vick did he did accomplish some things in his career. He was 2010, he was player of the comeback player of the year. He did lead the Eagles to a division title. He obviously had some success earlier in his career. I don't want to discredit that, and I don't want to give too much credence to it. It's just an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. His opinion was that when I talk about what Dan Orlovsky posted, what he was posting on there was actual breakdown of route running, of throws, of patterns. So that's why I give him some credence too,
right,
and a lot of credibility.
Well, because he's actually using video to support his argument.
And the shots that he was taking was from whether it's the all 22 or whatever it was, he had both. He could see the quarterback. It's not us like rewinding our DVR and going, hey, let's look at this. 610-632-0975. We'll talk Eagles. We'll talk Sixers. You want to get in on what Michael Vick had to say, I guess, since Lamar brought it up. We could talk about that, too, as well. And I think Dan was on this show, talked about. He's a good dude. I've had him on a bunch of times on different shows. He does a great job breaking things down, so we could talk about that, too, as well. 610-632-0975. She's D-Line. I'm Rob Motti, 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti and D Lineham, 610-632-0975. So it's 82 degrees tomorrow in Miami. Precipitation, 10% chance. It looks like it's going to be a hot, beautiful day for this team to go out there, for the Eagles to go up against a very bad football team in the Dolphins, who have been. At one point, it looked like they were going to be in contention to go 0-16, but they've won two games, played a little bit better. But it's an opportunity for the Eagles to go out there, get healthy, get confident, get back in a win column, move into a tie with the Cowboys. And I've already picked my score, a blowout, 36-6. I think they go in there with Lane Johnson back, Brandon Brooks back, with Nelly and Alshon, who everybody was killing a week ago. And you know what? Here's how ironic this is because 12 days ago, everybody's talking about how bad the wide receivers are, worst group of wide receivers in the NFL. Aguilar's coming off that game against the Patriots where can't track the ball. Would have been a tough catch at the end, but it was put in a spot where
and then he holds his knee?
Likely a good wide receiver makes that catch.
Sure.
Then he holds his knee, and he's just getting absolutely bashed after that. Alshon, too. Then they don't play. And they don't play after it looked like towards the end of the week they were trending positively, according to Coach Peterson. It looked like they were going to be able to go out there and play. So you can never tell a guy how injured he is. If they feel they're not healthy enough to go out there, if they can't give it a go, if they can't go out there and play, then they just can't go out there and play. That's between them and the team to deal with. But Eagles fans got to see what life is like without – as bad of a year as they're both having, when you don't have those two guys out there, you have no weapons whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean,
because
total of 19 points? Nine last week, 10 the week before.
The guy who had the most snaps at wide receiver is gone, Jordan Matthews. They just cut him after that game. Matt Collins doesn't give you anything. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, he's now had two games in a row where he's caught a 25-yard-plus pass.
They don't throw to him.
They don't throw to him.
I mean,
he's not open enough.
No.
At least tomorrow with two guys who have had success for you and guys that you would think, you would hope Carson's got enough confidence in to at least go to them, and they got to make the play. Because the last time Alshon
needs
played,
Carson needs a good game.
He's got to.
He really has to.
I mean, he's got to have I'm looking at a game where he's got to go.
Well, the only
four touchdowns, three touchdowns, no
interceptions,
no turnovers.
The only way you're getting a 36 is if he's hitting people.
The only other way to get like a weird number, 36, a lot of points like that is
your defense.
A special teams and a defense.
Yep.
You get one of each, and then you get a couple offensive and you get there. But no, I'm counting on a big offensive performance. I think they're going to run the ball well. I want to see a little bit of creativity from this offense. I want to see some screen passes. I would like to see them try and incorporate Greg Ward in different ways, because Greg Ward was a quarterback in college. He's always the scout team quarterback when they're playing a mobile guy, a running quarterback. we haven't seen a lot of, remember when Doug was all about, Doug Peterson was all about trick plays, and he's still aggressive on fourth down. You don't win with trick plays, but they sure have lost 2 weeks in a row with trick plays, right? Maybe mix one in there and utilize some of Greg Ward's unique skills.
Well, that would require him to be creative again, right?
Yeah, it's certain.
Between him and Mike Groh, somebody has to be wanting to be creative if that's going to be the case. Did you like 33 of 45 for Carson last week, though? That's a hot number.
That's a lot of passes in a one-score game. That's a lot of passes in a game where you didn't have to.
And what did we say? 18 total runs?
With the running backs, yeah. And then Carson, there's some design. His scrambles were. I don't think any of those scrambles were designed runs. I think they were all passes where he had a run. So they were all passes. Then he had the sacks. He had the turnovers.
Yeah, he needs to be better and different.
They need absolutely more balance. Carson's got to have a dominant game. And you go out there tomorrow against this team and you get the job done. Chris and Penn Salkin, I'm sure, has got some words on both the Eagles and Sixers. He's on the Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
What's up, the Prince and the Princess? Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving to your family, my man.
I got to tell you, man, you guys are radio hosts, and I own laundromats. We're not that smart, no disrespect to you guys. It's the eye test. These coaches, I know it's about the Jims and the Joes and not the X's and the O's, have played all growing up like you did, like both you guys did. I got to tell you, man, this is the totally wrong offense for Carson Wentz. He is not a West Coast offensive player. Quarterback, if you're looking for that, and you know me, I'm not a win tonight, Rob. I'll kill him when I. You know me, I'll kill any player, or athlete, or coach in the city.
You hit on something I don't want to get into, though. I agree with it.
And guess what? I'll be here when they're all gone because I'm a 4-for-4 guy, just like you two. He's not an accurate quarterback. He was an accurate quarterback coming out of college. If you were looking for that, why even draft the guy? But put it this way, that's like your wife saying, "I want an SUV," and you come on with a convertible. Yeah, the convertible is nice, but it's not going to work in the snow. He's an intermediate to short long distance thrower, throwing aggressive down the hill, not going side to side. That being said, moving on, and you know me, I was a Brett Brown fan. I was one of his saviors. He's killing me. So here's three things that are going to have to happen, in my opinion. You can agree or disagree. Either he's going to say to Ben at the end of the year, if nothing improves, you're going to be a point forward, or we're going to change up this offense, or I'm replacing you, Brett, because you're not winning in the playoffs with this. We struggle to score 90 points against the Knicks. The kid will not shoot the ball, man. I mean, you are killing Embiid. I mean, you saw what they're doing. As soon as Embiid goes now, they're just crashing them and crashing them and crashing them. It's 4-on-5, man. It's just, put it this way. And I know I ramble on a lot. My dad always said, Christopher, don't go into a gunfight with a knife and don't ever fight crazy. You know why, guys? Because crazy is going to come back to your door the next day and fight again. This is just crazy stuff by two coaches. I don't understand it, man. And I own laundromats and I can see it. You guys can see it. And they don't see it. They're the wrong offenses, man. I don't get it. You guys have a blessed weekend.
Chris, thank you.
I love you guys. Go Birds, 4-for-4 all day, every day.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. And you could touch on the Brett Brown offense thing, too. And I want to tell you, as far as the Eagles offense, the biggest issue I feel with this team, and just talked to a lot of people this week about it, we've talked often about the drop-off from Frank Reich to Mike Groh. Mike Groh and Frank Reich don't see football and the game the same way. They're two different guys, and they have different priorities on the field. They have different vision for what they expect on the field, and I don't think Doug Peterson's ultimately the play caller, so he gets the blame for it. He's the guy who's calling the plays, but the play installation, the play design, that's on Mike Groh, and he's not putting Carson Wentz in the best position to utilize his his talent and his skills. And I feel the scapegoat, and it's not just a scapegoat, yeah, you got to get rid of Mike Rowe. I think for Carson to thrive in this offense, they need to have an offensive coordinator who knows how to utilize him a whole lot better than Mike Rowe, more like Frank Reich. So when Doug Peterson's ultimately making those decisions with the plays and everything else, he's operating from a list of what works best for Carson.
But at the end of the day, Rob, I mean, Doug's seeing how dreadful this has looked. And I'm not going down. My ship's not going down when I'm the head. I'm the captain.
That's a good point.
When week after week, then we got to get to the drawing board together.
Yeah,
gotta get to the drawing board.
He's got to get in there and incorporate
and I think the other,
his ideas and force his way.
His ideas. And the other part would be when you are down men and now you don't have a Nelson, you don't have an Alshon, I have this. What are the strengths of them? And go accordingly. I don't think you can just always. I used to say this with the Phil Jackson's offense. It wasn't for everybody. When Karl Malone and Gary Payton went to the Lakers, it didn't work. It did not work. So you can't be stuck there.
You got to be able to utilize your players to the best of their skills.
Their skills.
What their skill set is.
And the best coaches adjust to that.
I want to get your take on what he said about Brett Brown when we come back. 610-632-0975. Got some open lines for you. She's D-Line. I'm Rob Motti, 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. The Fanatic.
202-975 The Fanatic. Rob Motti and D Lineham here till Flyer Hockey at 3. They're playing on a road in Montreal. Sixers. Sixers at 7:30 start?
No, it's actually 7, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, it's not because they're both one's home and one's on the road.
Correct.
The 7:30
so
is when they need
that. It's not the doubleheader. Yeah.
It's a doubleheader for the Fanatic.
Right, yeah.
So I told you last night after the Christmas Village, after some football in the morning, it was a nice Hallmark Christmas movie at the Motti house. I enjoyed it. But today, we're actually going to go. We have, since the girls were born, which is now 6+ years, they're 6 and almost a half. Remy and I have not been to a movie at all. At all. The only, we've been to 2, and it's been with them. And today we're going to a third, and it's going to be with them, of course. Any idea what we're going to be watching?
No, but I'm terrible because I couldn't
you're gonna be,
tell you what's
out
there.
The song is probably in your head forever.
Okay. Frozen 2.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes, Josh. Frozen 2. I hope they're not singing Let It Go again. I'm sure they will.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. You can't have Frozen without that song,
right? Can't wait for that. That's on our early evening. I think there's a 4:30 or 5. I don't know, whatever it is that we're going to see. So,
By the way, Joel Embiid was not on the NBA's 130. You have the deadline for injury report. So Al Horford was on that yesterday.
Yeah, he got the rest.
He got the rest. So you have to be on that if you're not going to play.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And he wasn't on the NBA's. So
Keith Pompey said he's not on the injury thing as of 1:30. So he is available to play.
Man, I'm trying to be down there.
Anyway, you got to think at that point. Then he's gonna. It's they're at home. It's against Indiana. You don't want to rest them again in a home game. Find another one for load management.
Just for people who just so you understand, these are two of the top defensive teams in the league. And if you go by defensive rating, Sixers would be third. We hear it all the time.
Yeah.
Indiana's fourth, and it's a 100th of a percentile difference.
I don't know what the line is for the over-under, but
it'll be a lower number. I don't know if I said, the Sixers are 18th in the league in scoring.
It's definitely trending. If you're a betting person out there,
it's been trending down.
It's definitely a game to potentially take the under. Scott and Barrington, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, Brother Scott?
Brother Rob, what's good with you? Sister D, what's happening?
Hello.
Enjoy listening to you guys. I'm on break, so people that know where I work at. I've been blessed. I've been working here at the Flyer Skate Zone in Fort Hays for about a month now. And
nice. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, they have a lot of activities going on. So, like I said, I'm on break. But I called two of my favorite hosts up, and I found a nice little quiet spot to do that because they got a bunch of hockey teams and have a lacrosse tournament going on. But I'm trying to get into both of them. But I told Devon Givens, Brother D, of course, and I have found respect for these guys on these skates. The big dudes on and off, and just the way they, when I'm working and seeing them practice, how they just stop and they just do their drills and everything. I'm going to get into hockey a little bit more, but call it today, a little Eagles and Sixers talk. With the Eagles, I know a lot of people are blaming Carson, but you two can correct me, of course, it's your knowledgeability. The two things that really make me mad with him is taking the sack, just throw the ball out of bounds. And I know holding on to the ball and all that, we know the receiver. But leads me to my next thing, the fumbles. The receiver had nothing to do with that. Am I wrong for, you know, analyzing those two mistakes in Carson?
Yeah, I think sometimes people expect him to just throw the ball away every time. But I made this comparison a couple of weeks ago with Tom Brady. Yeah, he throws the ball away because Tom Brady's 42 years old. He's trying to live to play another down. And he also doesn't have Carson's athletic ability and playmaking skills. We've seen Carson escape some sacks and throw touchdown passes and create big plays. So when I have the ball in the hands of my best playmaker, sometimes I want him to just throw it away and live to play another down. But if he does that, I also may be depriving the offense of an opportunity to get a big play. So there's a fine line. You got to be careful. If you don't see anything at all, okay, throw it away. But if you think you can create a big play, go for it. So I think it's just too simplistic to say throw the ball away every time. Right. And that's become the narrative that it's all we hear now. Oh, he's any sack, he's not throwing a ball away. Well, sometimes you got Big V getting blown over in 0.2 seconds and the defensive end is in his face. How's he even going to get a chance to throw the ball away?
Okay. Okay, that's a fair analogy. Or like I said, just take care of the ball more. I mean, like I said, he fumbled a couple times. The weather was his fault, the center's fault, but those are the two things. I know the other ones are obvious, not having the receivers, blah, blah, blah. But it is what it is with that. But, that's a good analogy. Brother Rob, Sister D, I'm going to end it with you, if I may. Listen to your answer. Peace. God bless. Love both of you guys. How did Embiid not score against the Raptors after we saw him crying? You think he would have been all hyped up for that, but what did you see that besides Gasol? Or you could help me out, but
well, Gasol's a big part of it, that's for sure. Okay. And he's played him well for a long time, or basically since Embiid's been in the league. That was part of it. The double teams is definitely part of it. Nick Nurse gets his guys to play defensively. I think that's also part of it. And just because he was losing a Kawhi did not mean he still believes he has a good team up there. And defensively, they get after it.
Because Kyle Lowry didn't even play that game, did he?
No, he's still out with I think it's a broken thumb.
Okay.
Yeah, he has names that nobody knows. Fred VanVleet. Siakam, if he was most improved a year ago, he probably could qualify for it again.
Yeah.
Because you take a Kawhi off your team, and for you to still improve to the way that he has is legit. There's not even a Danny Green to make outside shots.
How about that?
No, he's with the Lakers. He's with the Lakers, isn't he?
Yeah, Scott, get back to work, man. Appreciate the call, buddy.
All right, please. God bless.
Take care. And it's a pretty good coaching job that he's doing.
Yeah. But Nick Nurse has won a title in the G League, he's won a title overseas, and he's won a title in the NBA.
Yeah,
you know, you may not know his name or like where did this guy come from, but the guy clearly knows what he's doing.
Do you think a lot of people once they lost Kawhi and Danny Green were like, okay, you don't have to worry about Toronto this year, right?
Exactly.
So,
and I will say this: I just looked. You know, there's four teams in the Eastern Conference that are unbeaten at home. And Toronto's one of them, and the Sixers are one of them.
How about that?
Miami's the other. And
did Jimmy Butler let Miami? And Boston.
Boston.
Did you have any issue? We talked about what Michael Vick said about Carson this week. What about what Jimmy Butler had to say about the 76ers? Did you have any issues with that? Agree with him? Disagree with him? And basically what he said was he doesn't see guys trying hard enough.
Yeah. To be a championship team.
He had that problem with the guys in Minnesota, too,
and
correct?
In Chicago. And he just went to a Miami who, as good as they've played, I think they're 13-5 and undefeated at home. I said, they're not a championship caliber team. So don't throw championship to us when you certainly aren't choosing that.
Anyway, he went for and he to also, be the guy and go to South Beach.
Which is totally fine.
Yeah.
He does like to be critical of others. And, you know, which is okay. I mean, that's his choice.
Is he willing to take the criticism reciprocally?
I think he is. I mean, to me, all I'll say is, defensively, they got after you that night.
Yeah.
So don't tell me. I mean, they
made. How many games ago was that? That was
three.
It was before their Raptors game. That was last Saturday.
Last Saturday.
That was probably one of their best all around games, don't you think?
Absolutely. To me, it wasn't even close.
In that game.
And Josh Richardson, you know, again, not a guy who's going to say much, but he sure let his actions speak that day.
Playing against his former team. Yeah.
So.
Do you when you look at the Sixers and the concerns that you already expressed with Ben Simmons and a little bit with Joel and with all the callers and most of the callers, the problems start with the coach. Everybody's looking at Brown.
Coach, Ben,
and Joe. Would you agree with that?
And then if Tobias is playing terrible, they'll throw Tobias in there somewhere, but he has to be having a really bad stretch.
You would go Ben, though, first, wouldn't you?
I would in terms of to not duplicate the exact place you were last year again this year. Yes.
What do you need to see out of him to give you the confidence that they can get past the second round of the playoffs?
I mean, his free throws are of great concern to me, that you are shooting less than 60% in a game like last night.
He's taking a step backwards.
Yeah, step backwards. Last night, you're 5 of 10. People are going to foul you. I mean, that's not a good New York Knicks team, by the way. They have 4 wins.
Yeah.
And you're in a battle in the fourth quarter. Now, I'll give you credit for the steal he made. I got that. I see it.
It was up 5, gave him a 7-point lead in the final, like, minute and a half, something like that.
And I'll give credit there, but there are to not be able to run a play where he comes off the screen and pulls up for a foul line jumper. I mean, just to mix it up, like just like we're talking about how Doug Peterson could you come up with some things for Ward if he's going to be out there or
just
whoever.
Be creative enough,
to have it go towards Carson's abilities, maybe something there.
Does that speak to Coach Brown?
Coach Brown, sure. But they don't really draw up plays per se. I mean, they will if it's a, you know, side out of bounds, final play of the game, you know, you have 8 seconds on the clock. That's a design play for sure. But
Did you think that three looked like it was designed, the 1-3 he hit?
The 1-3 that he hit, yes. He ran to
it
that
looked like a design play.
He definitely ran to that corner. He's been in that corner before.
Yeah.
He just hasn't gotten the... he gets the ball and gives it up.
Yeah.
But that's something that you see. They run that in practice. That's for everybody. When you, in that flow, you run to the box. If you don't get it in the box, on their practice court, they literally have
boxes
drawn so that you muscle memory will now, even if there isn't a box, you're always in the right spacing on the floor. But you go there, if you don't get the ball, now you move. And, you know, there's like basically three concepts that they play out of. But he could look for a jumper more often than he does. But my bigger problem is you cannot be a 58 or 59% free throw shooter playing the number of minutes that he plays and playing the position that he plays.
That's the big issue. 610-632-0975. We got some open lines. We want to talk Sixers. We want to talk Eagles. She's D-Lineham. I'm Rob Motti. 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's D-Lineham. on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Birds are under 500, but still in the hunt for the NFC East. We're talking Eagles football on Philadelphia's football station, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Philly fans, it's Dunphy here. You know me as the home teams. I wear my Philly sports team, Inc., like a badge of honor. Home team, that's what it's all about. When it comes to sports betting, I'm with the home team at Parks Casino Sportsbook, based right here in the Delaware Valley and the number one casino in Pennsylvania. Parks is the online sportsbook that is a choice of Philly fans like me, Dunphy, the Philly sports tattoo guy. Join me and the home team right now. Just download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app in the App Store or go to parkscasino.com/PA, parkscasino.com/PA, and use promo code Dunphy. That's D-U-N-P-H-Y. New accounts get a free $50 just for signing up. Use promo code Dunphy. Type it in, D-U-N-P-H-Y. The Philly fans' choice. Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Bet with the best. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, Mark Farzetta here for the all-new Concordville Subaru. Folks, you have to see this beautiful showroom they built just for you. Large, comfortable, and packed with all the Subaru models that you want to see. They built that gorgeous showroom to show off not only their models, but also have you feel extremely comfortable when you're making the big decision as to which Subaru you want to buy. They set up a coffee bar for you in the beverage area, a fireplace out there in the visitor center that you could kick your feet up next to. You also get a free car wash after every service appointment. And this month, lease a 2020 Subaru Outback Premium for as low as $269 per month, or lease a Legacy Premium for $249 per month. Both model leases are 36 months, require $3,000 due at signing, and are for qualified buyers. The Subaru Share the Love event is going on right now. We'll donate $250 to the purchaser or lessee selected national and hometown charities. See retailer or Subaru.com/share for details.
Lease deals end November 30th, 2019. Visit 202Subaru.com. For inventory. That's 202Subaru.com. 888-351-6493 for financing details. Concordville cares.
Need the perfect gift or gift card for your holiday party? With large selections of domestic, imported, and craft beer at the lowest prices around, you can't go wrong by visiting the following locations. Cotman Beverage on Frankfort Avenue in the Northeast. Beer Guys in the Manoa Shopping Center in Havertown. Bottle and Can on Morris Road in Wayne. Southampton Beverage on 2nd Street Pike in Southampton, PA, and Rosemont Beverage Center on Canastoga Road in Bryn Mawr.
With the holiday season upon us, the New Jersey Transit Police Department reminds you that we all need to work together to keep our transit system safe. Your attention is our most valuable asset. If you ride the train or bus, or if you live or work near a station, be alert and aware of your surroundings. If something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. Report suspicious activity to 1-888-TIPS-NJT or text your report to NJTPD. New Jersey Transit urges you to help us keep our transit system safe. Report suspicious activity to 1-888-TIPS-NJT or text your report to NJTPD.
Hey, this is Mark Farzetta for Concordville Nissan. What makes you happy? Well, I can tell you that buying my car or Nissan Murano from Concordville Nissan has made my family pretty happy. It's so nice to do business with a dealership that is truly in the business of making every customer smile as they drive off in their new vehicle. That's the goal of Anthony, Gilroy, and Dave down there at Concordville Nissan, and that's not just a saying, it's a real culture. And going on right now at Concordville Nissan is the Black Friday sales event, where you receive 0% financing on all 2019 Nissans and score a great deal with dealer rebates. Save big on the Nissan models everyone's talking about, like Rogue, Murano, Altima, Sentra, and Pathfinder. Check out holiday bonus cash of $500 on all 2020 Altimas and Rogues. Of course, these Nissans come with all the cool technology that you want and will also keep you and your family safe on the road. Concordville Nissan on Route 202 South in Glen Mills, online at 202Nissan.com. That's 202Nissan.com. Black Friday sales event ends on November 30th, 2019. Concordville cares.
Surprise! The last Black Friday ever at Peebles is still going strong all weekend long. Don't miss your chance to take 50% off so much. Everything must go. Score must-have doorbusters while they last, like a Google Home Mini or women's boots for just $19.99. Plus 60% off kids' toys and 25% off fragrances. Hurry in before it's too late. It's the last Black Friday ever at Peebles. Offer exclusions apply.
Napa Know How.
right now, only at NAPA, AAA members get a 20% discount. So you can avoid getting stranded on the side of the road by picking up some quality parts like batteries, brake pads, and more. Meaning you can prevent the problem before it ever becomes a problem. Bravo. That's 20% off for AAA members. Quality parts, helpful people. That's NAPA know-how.
NAPA know-how.
At participating NAPA Auto Parts stores. Exclusions apply. May not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 11/30/19.
I think I can.
What are you doing?
Getting ready.
Ready for what?
For this.
Here you go, boys. 316-ounce cans of Bud Light in an ice cold bucket for just $9.95.
You can, too, at Hooters. 316-ounce cans of Bud or Bud Light in an ice cold bucket, just $9.95 during all football games.
Sports voice of the new Philadelphia, 97.5, The Fanatic.
.220, 97.5, The Fanatic. Rob Motti and D. Lynam. 610-632-0975. Eagles getting set to take on Miami tomorrow in Miami. Beautiful 82 degrees down there in South Florida. The following week, they'll be home on a Monday night game against the New York Giants. And you can win the ultimate Birds fan experience. Two tickets to the Monday night game, December 9th. Field passes and a VIP tour of the ESPN broadcast truck. Eagle safety Rodney McLeod has set a goal to raise $23,000 for the American Association for Cancer Research, the first and largest organization dedicated to finding cures for all cancers. Go to 975thefanatic.com/donate. Make a donation to Rodney McLeod's Race to 23K campaign, and your donation automatically enters you for this ultimate Birds fan experience. Donate today to support cancer research, and you could win exclusively from Eagle Safety, Rodney McLeod, the AACR, and 97.5, The Fanatic. All right, I got the Eagles winning. We only got a little bit over a half hour before we go to Flyers Canadiens hockey. I got the Eagles in a rout tomorrow against the Dolphins, 36-6. You got confidence, D, that they're going to win the football game. Not necessarily the same easy manner in which I have them winning this game, though.
Right, because I look at the times they've put up 30 points or more this year. I think it's been four.
Yeah.
Jordan Howard's been in those games. Did he finish the Chicago game?
I know he did. He got hurt really late. Yeah.
So, but that still was 22 points.
Yeah.
And now we know what they've been, but it's been multiple reasons. The line, the receivers, no Jordan Howard.
Yeah, big.
So there's
big,
a lot
big
of differences.
Contribution,
and the
Howard.
Quality of the opponent the last 2 weeks is significant to what they're going to play tomorrow. Different than what they'll play tomorrow. So I like the way their defense is playing. I really do. I was just looking at Twitter and some of the statistics of their last four games defensively.
Yeah.
You know, allowing 266 total yards, holding the opponent to 17 and under.
Four straight games. Five straight, I believe, 225 or less passing.
Yeah.
Five straight games.
So
their secondary's come a long way.
Yes. And that was about health.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be more, like, you needed more than just those two guys being healthy.
Darby but Mills, Maddox coming back,
Maddox
too. Now
back.
LeBlanc coming back is kind of like just the extra piece. Sidney Jones, is going to, unless there's injury, he's not going to see the field. He's probably going to be inactive.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there'd be too many people upset about that.
No, that's for sure.
So I think they win it easily. I do. I just don't know that I could give them 36 points would be the
That's
most they had
points.
All year.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah.
I'm looking for an offensive
showing.
Just a big time performance
and
down
a beatdown. You're looking for like.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'm doing a post game show tomorrow, which is a rare opportunity. I usually can't even get in here that early, but they're on the road tomorrow. I could do it. If they win this game and it's close, my feelings on that game and on their season is not going to be quite as positive if you have to fight and scratch and claw for a win against a 2-9 Dolphins team.
Right.
That I know.
Even on the road.
Yeah. On the road, which is going to be half. I think it'll be probably 50-50, maybe 60-40 Miami fans.
Oh, right.
So it's a game again. It's a game that you need. The other team doesn't. You have better talent.
You have to go out there, win this football game, and dominate start to finish. No excuses. I don't want, and there are no excuses. Go out there, dominate all three phases, start to finish, and get to 6-6, and then start getting some confidence back so you can make a run. Because in this NFC East, it's right there for them to take it. Forget the Giants and the Redskins. It's you and Dallas, and you see how Dallas is reeling. They're terrible right now. If the Eagles can get on some kind of roll and get in the playoffs, but then we talk about, all right, if they get in the playoffs, and I forget a caller earlier mentioned it could be Green Bay. Yeah, it very well could be first round at home. It could be Green Bay, Minnesota, Seattle, or San Francisco, because those four teams are going to make the playoffs. Two of them are going to be division winners. The other two are going to be the wild card teams. So the Eagles would get in as the four, and the better of those two is the wild card team. Right now, it would be Seattle. So you're looking at Seattle for a potential rematch. They almost beat them with no wide receivers. I'd feel good about Eagles-Seattle in January.
You would?
Given what they just did against them.
Yeah, no, I know.
They should have won that game. They had nothing from their offense.
Yeah.
I don't expect Russell Wilson to only put up 17.
Again?
Yeah.
No.
I would expect them to counter that, to make some adjustments, to make some changes.
But I would agree with you that I'd like my chances better than some of the others.
I don't like them. I don't know if I would like my chances.
Against the 49ers? No.
The only thing that I would like about that is that you're talking about a young team with a young quarterback who I know he was around for a while as a backup in New England, and he's not 23 years old, but it's an inexperienced team that doesn't know how to win in the playoffs. So if you go from being a team that's fighting for the number one seed all year, and then right now they could win out except lose one more time to Seattle, because Seattle already beat them.
Yep.
They're one game behind them. So they could conceivably finish 14-2 and have to be a wild card team. Because Seattle could finish 14-2 and get that wild card spot, get the division based on beating them twice.
Beating them twice.
So if you're a 14-2 wild card team thinking that you just went from number one seed to a fifth seed, there's got to be some kind of emotional letdown going West Coast to East Coast. I don't know. That game to me might be, and what does San Fran do best? They run the football.
They
Eagles
do.
Got
yeah,
a
yeah.
good run defense.
They do.
So you're playing into the Eagles' strengths there. I wouldn't be terrified of that game. Minnesota, the Eagles have lost to here. They lost to Kirk Cousins here and there. A lot of people don't like Kirk Cousins. You got to give him credit. He does also have the Eagles' number. He even when he was in Washington on some bad teams,
yep,
he found ways
to
beat the Eagles. If I had my choice of those four opponents, I would probably want to take
Seattle
or Green Bay, because you beat Green Bay on the road. But it would be hard to say you want Aaron Rodgers he's already won a playoff game here over Michael Vick's Eagles in 2010 on his way to a Super Bowl. That's a good question to have. Maybe in 2 or 3 weeks, if the Eagles are at that point where it looks like they're going to win the division, who would you rather play in the first round? Bottom line is, this is not going to be easy.
Not going to be easy.
And I don't see them going
this
to the Super Bowl.
This is not 2017.
No, it's not going to be easy. You're not looking at a Super Bowl team. You're looking at a team that you're hoping gets hot towards the end of the season, gets into the tournament, and some things break right. Okay, maybe they could win a first-round game, but to go on the road and win two, I don't think there's. I had no issues with them. I liked them going on the road last year against Chicago. I thought they could beat them because Chicago was kind of a younger team, inexperienced quarterback, and they did do that. Then they went to New Orleans and had a chance and couldn't do it. But New Orleans is a superior team. I think New Orleans is a superior team this year. I think Seattle. In Seattle is going to be tough.
Yeah,
however, they've lost there this year and
yeah,
not on the
have.
Road.
I know. That's so crazy.
San Fran on the road.
People tell me the noise when you go to Seattle. Is that one of the loudest?
Yeah, it is.
They say that.
And it used to be louder when they were in the dome.
That's right.
The Seattle King Dome. But they also would pump in some crowd noise back in the day. I would think now they got enough noise in there, and they got enough people making noise. It's the road in January is not going to be easy, but right now the path is to get there.
Yep.
To win the games that are winnable, to beat the teams on the schedule ahead of you that you can beat. And the games right now, the schedule is set up for you to take advantage of that. You got to beat 4-2-9 teams and a Cowboys team that's reeling, that could be looking to move on to its next head coach. I said it to you during a break, and I'll say it on the air. I think Jerry Jones is going to make a push for Jim Harbaugh. I think Jason Garrett at this point,
based on he's not looking at that Michigan Ohio State.
Yeah, and yeah, you know, Brent, looking at that game, you got Michigan getting pounded by Ohio State.
You're saying that his success with the 49ers would be what would be enticing.
And he's kind of that personality that I think, though, that personality might push back a little bit against Jerry Jones. See, Jim Harbaugh is not Jason Garrett. So I don't know if that's a perfect marriage, but I think he tries to make a splash. Some people have linked Jason Garrett to the Giants. Hey, if they want him, good for them. Familiarity within the division. That's somebody who can work with the quarterback, young quarterback. Jason's done that with Dak Prescott. I don't know that that's probably the best move for the Giants. I don't think it is. But if you're an Eagles fan, you really don't care. If
yeah, you'd say Garrett go ahead.
Go ahead. Stay within the division.
Yeah,
so
won't bother us.
Hey, Jim Harbaugh, maybe in Dallas, that could be fun for a couple games a year next year. But we'll see. That's Dallas's problem, not Eagles fans' problem. 610-632-0975. Last chance to get in with D-Lineham and I talking Sixers tonight, getting ready for the Pacers based on the 130 injury report. D, it looks like Joel Embiid's going to play.
Back to back, baby.
Looks like he's going to go back to back. And I got the Eagles blowing out the Dolphins. How do you feel about that game? D's got a win, not necessarily a blowout like I have. 610-632-0975. She's D Lineham. I'm Rob Motti, 975, The Fanatic.
Hungry dogs run faster.
Hey, this is Jason Kelce, and you're listening to The Rob Motti Show.
They score! What a setup! Frost to Giroux!
Flyers, Canadians. Today at 3 on your home for Flyers hockey. 97.5 The Fanatic. Presented by GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, this is Anthony Gargano. Philadelphia fans, we love the home team. We're 4-for-4. I grew up here. I've worked here now for a lot of years. Telling you, our fans are the best because it's in our soul. So when it comes to sports betting, we want to get the guys with the home field advantage. That's my guys at Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Right here at home with us. Home of Cuz's Corner, right on Street Road, Ben Salem, Parks Casino and Sportsbook. The biggest and best sports book and the only sports book backed by the number one casino in the whole state of Pennsylvania. So who are you going to trust with your sports bet? Parks Casino and Sportsbook, of course, set up now. Get a risk-free bet up to $500. That's right, $500. Download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app in the App Store or go to parkscasino.com/PA. That's parxcasino.com/PA. Use promo code GREEN to get your risk-free bet to $500. Here's the deal. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your loss as a free bet. Get your risk-free bet up to $500 right now. You got to be 21. Present in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, Mark Farzetta here for the all-new Concordville Subaru. Folks, you have to see this beautiful showroom they built just for you. Large, comfortable, and packed with all the Subaru models that you want to see. They built that gorgeous showroom to show off not only their models, but also have you feel extremely comfortable when you're making the big decision as to which Subaru you want to buy. They set up a coffee bar for you in the beverage area, a fireplace out there in the visitor center that you could kick your feet up next to. You also get a free car wash after every service appointment. And this month, lease a 2020 Subaru Outback Premium for as low as $269 per month or lease a Legacy Premium for $249 per month. Both model leases are 36 months, require $3,000 due at signing, and are for qualified buyers. The Subaru Share the Love event is going on right now. We'll donate $250 to the purchaser or lessee selected national and hometown charities. See retailer or Subaru.com/share for details.
Lease deals end November 30th, 2019. Visit 202Subaru.com for inventory. That's 202Subaru.com. 888-351-6493 for financing details. Concordville cares.
When you're a global university that was founded more than 70 years ago for service members and working adults, you need a name to match your mission. University of Maryland University College is now University of Maryland Global Campus. The respected state university with an international reputation for academic excellence, offering courses online and at 140 classrooms and service locations worldwide, including military installations. With UMGC, you can earn your degree or certificate wherever you are. And with rolling admissions and no SAT or GRE required for most programs, we can help you get started today. A global mission, a global presence. We are University of Maryland Global Campus. Earn a respected degree from an accredited state university with more than 90 programs and specializations in fields like business, cybersecurity, healthcare, and more. You can gain the skills you need to get moving and get ahead. Visit umgc.edu/radio. That's umgc.edu/radio. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
All aboard!
Going home for the holidays is different for everyone. Some travel with company the whole way there. Some face roadblocks once they're home, like finding out your parents turned your room into a gym. No matter what's changed over the years, cheers to everything that stayed the same. Stop in your local Fine Wine and Good Spirits and BYO Holiday Spirit. Save $2 on Cruisin' Light Rum and $1 on Jim Beam Straight Bourbon, both 750-milliliter bottles. Offers end December 1st, 2019. Please enjoy responsibly.
In search of a battery that won't let you down, even in the lowest temperatures? We've got you covered at America's number one battery destination. At AutoZone, we have the proven tough Duralast batteries you need to drive with peace of mind this winter. They're tested in extreme conditions, which means you can count on them to deliver when you need them most. Stop in today or visit AutoZone.com, and we'll help you find the start you're looking for. Based on data from the NPD Group Incorporated, Car Care Track 12 months ending December 2018.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Rush into your neighborhood grocery store today to score entry into Nature Sweets, Tomatoes and Touchdowns, Ultimate College Football Experience Sweepstakes. You can win a VIP trip for two to the biggest college football game ever. So head into your neighborhood grocery store produce aisle and get game day ready with Nature Sweet Tomatoes. Game day just got even sweeter with Nature Sweet Tomatoes. Contest ends December 16th. No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 years or old. Visit naturesweet.com/promotions for rules and entry details.
Birds fans, this is Dan Baker, a voice of Philadelphia sports for almost 50 years. Make Xfinity Live your away game destination when the Birds play in Miami this week. Grab your friends and join us in front of our 32-foot screen for cold beers, delicious food, and the best watch party experience in Philly. Enjoy $3 Miller Lights in our $5 game day menu. And remember, the first 500 people at Xfinity Live receive a free Miller Lite on us.
Listen up, we have great news. There's a quick way that you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
97.5 The Fanatic. We are what's happening now.
The Fanatic, Rob Motti and D-Line. Here to Flyers Hockey, top of the hour. Playing against the Montreal Canadiens. What a flash. 14-7
and they won 6-1 yesterday.
At home, the Black Friday matinee game.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking good. They're playing well right now. And the Sixers tonight against the Pacers, and they will probably should have Joel Embiid because he wasn't on the injury report. So you got that coming up. And then tomorrow at 1, Eagles are in Miami against the Dolphins in a game that they should win. They're a double-digit favorite. They're coming off two consecutive home losses. Yeah, go on the road as a double-digit favorite. I don't know. I haven't looked in trends or looked at any of that. That's got to be a rarity in the NFL that you got a double-digit favorite coming off two consecutive losses. But that just shows you how bad Miami is.
It really is.
The Eagles are going to be favored the rest of the way. I don't see any scenario in which they're not favored against anybody, including Dallas, because that'll be here. So you win the games that you should
win.
That
line could be 3 at that point.
We don't know, but yes. Yeah, it could be 3. It could be 8.
Yeah.
It could be. I don't see it going that high because between now and then, the Eagles still have Miami, Giants here at Washington, and Dallas has the Bears on another Thursday night game coming up this week. And then after that, they have the Rams. I think it's at Chicago and home against L.A. They could go 1-1. And if they go 1-1, then the Eagles can afford to lose one more game. But that's not to Dallas. Right now, the Eagles can only afford to lose to Miami tomorrow and still win out. They could lose to Miami and win out, and they would still be division champions.
But the tone of tomorrow would be horrific would be, if that happens.
It would be absolutely...
I mean, you think they have trouble down there in Dallas losing to Buffalo...
Oh, if the Eagles lose tomorrow to Miami.
I mean, come on.
It's season's over. Jump it off the bridge.
I'm out.
Fire. Yeah. Fire. Exactly, Josh. Everybody's
going to
want
the
Peterson
whole
out.
Thing.
Yeah. If it's they like, lose tomorrow somehow at Miami, forget that they could still run the table. Because if they lose tomorrow to Miami, they're 5-7, then they could go in at 9-7. Because Dallas would, if that loss would be to the Eagles. But nah. The mood, the vibe, the confidence level. Now, instead, what you got to do, instead of like losing to Miami and going, hey, we still could win out. No, you got to go out there and win big. Win that game, dominate start to finish. And I think they can do that. Got to see some things out of.
Your defense wants to see something out of the offense.
The defense at this point, you know, which is telling, is they just want to see the offense not turn the ball over.
Yeah.
Just score 12 points and we'll win the football games, what the defense is essentially trying to say. And you don't want to get to a point where it's defense is critical of the offense.
No.
And then you got division in the locker room and all that stuff. And I don't think you're going to get there.
And let's face it, early on when the corners were out,
yeah,
there was a lot of heat that went towards the defense.
Yes.
So
and
the
a
fact
lot of heat
that,
that
it,
went to Jim Schwartz.
Yeah,
people wanted
and the
him.
Fact that it has flipped.
Yeah.
You've gotten guys back healthy. You've performed quite well the last 2 weeks. And as you said, we could go back the last four for sure.
Yeah.
And then you said the five game.
Five games, 225
five
or less.
For the passing yards, right?
Yeah, if you're the defense, don't sit there and think that now we're doing our part and you were a big part of some of the problems early on in the season too. And I thought it at the time they weren't healthy. Same thing, offense hasn't been healthy. Bottom line is this: last week they didn't have their top three receivers, they didn't have their top running back, they didn't have their two Pro Bowl offensive linemen who are getting paid and getting paid very well. Lane Johnson gets a contract extension yesterday for. 4 years, $72.5 million, 54 of which are guaranteed.
Dollars.
Brandon Brooks got a contract a couple weeks ago for $30 million guaranteed. The Eagles are investing heavily into their offensive line, so rely on them, count on them, win the football game tomorrow by giving them the ball, running behind those two big, highly paid offensive lineman on the right side, and that's on Doug Peterson, that's on Mike Groh to do that, and that's on those guys to make sure that you're going to do whatever it takes to win a football game. At the same time, I would like to see the pass offense tomorrow, the passing attack, do some things that'll give you more confidence in them, because right now Carson's under fire. Receivers are heavily criticized. If Zach Ertz is out, it's going to be up to Dallas Goedert as the tight end, and Josh Perkins coming in cold off the practice squad this year. I'd like to see them do some things that will give us a little bit of confidence going forward.
How many catches did Miles have last week?
Oh, man.
I feel like
not many,
right?
No, he didn't, and it would be nice to see him incorporated in it somehow.
Man.
For a while there, for a 4 or 5 week stretch, he was your best deep threat.
He was
the only guy who would catch a ball for more than 30 yards. Was Miles Sanders. Give him the ball out in space, get him the ball somehow, and allow him to go out there and just really use those skills and try and get some things done. So we'll see how creative he is tomorrow. Josh, you have a prediction on this game? Are you on tomorrow before the game, pregame show?
No, I am not.
All right, well, I gave mine. Dee's got hers. What do you got? Dee, you didn't give a score, though. You got a score?
All right, I'll give a score. Let's see.
Dee doesn't like giving a score.
I know.
You?
I'm mathematically. I'm going to say 24-10.
24. So you got a cover. Dee's got a cover. I got an easy cover. What do you got, Josh?
I'm actually a little bit closer to Dee, going more of a 31-17, where I think at some point maybe it's a 21-point game, but Miami goes down, scores, makes it a little bit closer than what the game generally was. Yeah.
Little Fitzmagic has something left in him.
I was just
going to
say, Fitzpatrick could do that too.
He could. He certainly could. Fitzpatrick can get you some fantasy points.
Yes.
He sure can get you more than Drew Brees got me Thursday night.
I am so fascinated that now is, for instance, when I prepare for my G League stuff.
Yeah.
There's a category and it's FP.
Fantasy point? For G League guys?
For G League guys.
Stop it.
I'm not kidding you.
There are people
I had to call my father to say, what is FP stand for? What am I missing? No.
Did Coach know?
We were, and I probably, I could have clicked on it, right? And it would have told me what it was. But I was trying to figure it out.
You were both stumped by FP. They had that for G League? Hmm? I want to know if anyone is out there who just tweet at me or tweet at the show. If you are in an NBA G League fantasy league, what kind of fan are you? You are diehard.
Yeah.
Big time.
But these guys go back and forth. But they do keep it just for the G League.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's it. Yeah, there are guys who go back and forth, and maybe you have the guy, but the points that you see on the stats are for their G League fantasy point stats. Yeah. That's fascinating.
It is.
You can bet on anything nowadays. You can have a fantasy team on anything. It's going to be it's a different way to watch a game. It really
is. That's what it is. It makes it interactive.
Yeah. That's a different way to watch the football game, and it keeps people's interest. And now with betting the way it is and accessible and available everywhere you go, more people are interested.
Well, here, we're looking at a fantasy show in the background.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that what that is there?
And the betting shows are all everywhere, too.
Because why else would we care about Jets versus Bengals?
This is true.
Good point.
There was a point
that we thought that was going to be 0-for-0-for, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, now Sam Darnold's looking a little bit better.
Yeah.
Sam's looking like he might, he's got some skills there.
See what happens when you don't have mono.
No. Did you see the report after the, I think it was a New York Post report. I had something about him and a girl after the win celebrating. It's like, hey, he's young, right? He's going to go do whatever he wants to do. But, hey, I'm pretty sure it was the Post. That's their style, right? Yeah, that's what they do. I mean, all I know is this. I'm so glad when I was 25, there was no Twitter.
Yes.
And there was no social media the way it is now. I can't imagine having to be an athlete right now. It's crazy, but D, we are out of time. This was fun. You're back tomorrow.
Yes, I'm
here
after you.
4 to 7. You're here 7 to midnight.
But I have Big Dog with me.
Big Dog's coming in at 9, right?
Yeah.
And we'll be hopefully talking about an easy Eagles win. But if not, those phone lines are going to be crazy
if
they lose the game. So thank you to everybody out there. Big thanks to Josh Rabick for producing the show.
Fantastic job, dude.
Thank you, as always. And now you can loosen the tie and kick back and relax. You don't have to be all dressed up for the rest of the day. We'll be back tomorrow for D-Line. I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.